Blog Talk Radio.
People, all you dung eaters, come on over here. Come on. I'm here. I'm here. Do you think your chance of going to stop me? You can no more stop me than you can stop the power of the blood of Jesus. I declare the blood of Jesus against you faggots, you lesbos, you perverts, you sick-minded people. You are sick. You are demon-possessed. You stop the demons now. Stop the demons now. Stop the demons now. You are demon-possessed. You are full of the devil. You are the children of the devil. You're all the devil's children. You're perverts. You are disgraced. God help you. You are a wretched, unbelievable, despicable, disgrace to humanity. Your breath stinks of another man's butthole.
Again? Well, I shouldn't use that phrasing because he might take it a different way. What the fuck, man? What the fuck? Most of that was hilarious, except I cringed when he said faggot.
Shut up.
You guys remember this clip?
How many sense for overall from your descriptions here that you think that being gay is a lifestyle choice? So it's a choice that a lot of people would want to make. You think that semen is delicious to a lot of people. And these are choices that people make. So it seems like perhaps if it wasn't for the Bible and the teachings of Moses, et cetera, that you might have been tempted by those choices as well. Is that the case? Have you been tempted?
Oh, absolutely. No, not about it. You know, Cenk, I spent 3.5 years in prison. So, yeah, I saw that and was tempted, but I didn't yield to temptation, by the way. You need to know that. Make sure you publish that as well.
All right, so you thought about having gay sex, and that was tempting to you, and you thought that might be delicious or really fun, but you decided to hold strong and not do it. Is that roughly right?
That is true.
All of that vitriolic anger and hatred directed at gay people, directed at anybody who's not like him, he just said it right there. I mean, the dude is just yearning for some cock. He can't wait.
Oh, shut up.
Are you talking about your own self-hatred? It appears to me that you're the haters.
What went wrong in our culture? Start here. The fear.
What the hell?
The anger. The shouting.
The always hilarious conservative Christian host.
I tell women, I preach this all the time in our church. I say, you know, if you have sexual intercourse with a man and he plants his semen inside of you, that semen, whether it makes you pregnant or not, enters into your blood system. Your womb is a place for the receptacle. And it goes into your blood system. And whatever he has in his blood is in your blood. And for instance, if he has a disease in his blood through his semen, and the semen is the cream of the blood.
Oh, man.
Semen is produced by the blood. It is the cream. It is the power. It is the cream of blood. That's just no other way to say it. It isn't blood itself. It is even more powerful than blood. It can actually produce life, semen. But if your blood, if a man puts his semen in you, I teach women, that, and if it's disease, you're going to get that disease. You got whatever that is, whether it's AIDS or syphilis or one of these other diseases, you're going to get it because it's going to go right into your blood system, right through your vagina, right through your womb. If a man injects himself in you, if a man injects himself in another man and injects his semen into him and he's crazy, then that's going to get in his blood as well. And if demons
are in him, then those demons are you're going to get penetrated by demons. You're going to get penetrated by demons. You know, even the kissing of someone who has demons in their blood, that saliva can give you a disease.
Oh, yeah.
I posted up on our announcement board that sodomy is metastasized here in Harlem and people in restaurants, and our dates need to be very, very careful. Why am I saying all of this? I'm saying this to say to you, perhaps you first got introduced to these demons in your life, sodomy, when you had no defense.
And you couldn't help it. You saw that there was a good-looking man.
Ah, shut up. Okay, that's Pastor Manning, one of the best. He's in Harlem. And he went after Obama like he wouldn't believe. He interviewed the gay guy that they're talking about now, Sinclair. And he interviewed him way before, but probably the first year or two that Obama was elected. And he testified. Well, he testified in, you know, how they do it in church. He on a Sunday morning, he got up there on the pulpit and told exactly what Obama and him did. And, he said he blew Obama, and the next day Obama knocked on his door and wanted seconds. And, Jesus. He getting high, doing crack cocaine, and damn.
Oh, hell, I believe it.
Oh, I do, too. Oh, yeah, I do. I believed it then when he was saying it. I believed him because he took a lot.
They want us to believe all this other crap. I believe.
Oh, yeah, and... where in the hell did I find that? I've been telling on this show that, what the hell is his name? He was an intelligence officer in the Navy. And he's an investigative reporter now. He went to Chicago when Rahm Emanuel was running for mayor, when he first was running, and he was, he wanted to investigate, you know, Rahm Emanuel. And everybody was pointing to this gay bathhouse. And he went to the bathhouse, and it was, you know, the guys, they were all saying Barry, they called him Barry. He and Rahm Emanuel used to go to the bathhouse, gay bathhouse, all the time. And this is before Obama was, in the Senate. And, he was in, what was he? He was in the Senate in Illinois or the House. I can't remember. Anyway, they all said Barry and the guy, the future mayor was always coming to the bathhouse. Now, they rented a house in Chicago, Barack and Rahm Emanuel. And they rented it from a lady that was appointed. She got appointed. And so her whole family moved to Washington, D.C. And they took over the house, but they didn't know. And what they didn't know was there was cameras all through the house. There was cameras recording everything. And one morning the lady went out because the garages aren't connected in these houses in this subdivision this lady lived in. They're in the back of the house. And she went back there to start her car and it blew up. Burned her to death. And
no kidding.
Yeah, that's the truth. That is the truth. And then how about the gay guy that, he was head of the, what was he? Head of the Department of Education in Chicago. And they found him floating in the river. And they said he was gay, and he came from that church, Reverend Wright's church. And they had a gay choir leader. I've forgotten his name, but his mother said he and Obama used to hang out all the time together, and she knew her son was gay, and he ended up mysteriously dying. Of course, it was a
suicide. Well, that's why I told you that Cook was having sex with Michelle.
I think you might because he was writing
Michelle,
a book.
See, I can look at Michelle's mama and know about her. That's one of them strict black women right there. And she probably brought Michelle up pretty strict, too. Michelle don't want to be doing anything with him. He's been sticking his dick all up in males' buttholes.
You mean Michael.
Yeah, Michael. How you doing, Gene? And we have Lori. No, so we got a lot of people on the switchboard if you'd like to join.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
I just started being a fire.
You did? Well, good.
Yeah. I sit out here by the fire and talk to you people.
Well, there you go. There's nothing wrong with that.
You people? What do you mean about you people?
Yeah.
If I hurt your feelings, good.
You did.
I'm offended.
You just missed a good preacher. Me and me and Bianchi was listening to Pastor Manning, and you missed it. It was very good.
Who's Pastor Manning?
Pastor Manning? Well, he used to get into Barack's ass, man. He hated Barack and called him long-legged Mac Daddy from the ghetto. Oh, yeah. He doesn't hold back. He does not hold back, does he, Bianchi? He gets right in there.
It don't sound like he holds back.
No,
well, then maybe you just need to share that little link in our little group chat so we can hear it later. Right, Lorianne?
Lorianne's eating again.
Yeah, go ahead and put the link in there. But I was listening. I called in right at the start of the show, so I was listening too.
Well, I was making noise starting my fire, so I didn't want to call in yet.
Yeah, that's what they all say. Whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever. Ding dongs, whatever. Here's a little bit.
Get our Valley Girl on. We got to get our Valley Girl accents on here. Whatever.
Let's get a sound.
Perceive things. And things
like,
are
good
on planet Earth, if you ask me. And I want to be able to go over a large number of things in the Manning Report today. It's, you know, Congress has made they decided to go home, recess the congressman, Kevin McCarthy, leader of the House, Speaker of the House, and we got this other fellow, Mitch McConnell. Did y'all see that the other day? Mitch McConnell was just standing there speaking, and he froze up like, he looks like a turkey, right? Mitch McConnell. Just froze for like 20 seconds, he didn't say anything. He just looked really, that boy. And he looks old. I think Mitch McConnell was 81 years old, but he looks. And then the other one, you know, Dianne Feinstein from out there, senator from out there in California, she's 89 years old. Everybody keep telling her, retire. Give up your seat. She won't do it. You know, what is wrong with her? So the other day, they were having a vote, and all she had to do was say, she started reading the whole thing. And, oh, my God. Retire. I'm not against old people, you know. I'm not. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, listen, if you... You know, Mitch McConnell, he just froze like 20 seconds. Everybody standing there, John Zoom. Look at him. He looks like a turkey, doesn't he? He's down there so I suppose that it looked like he had a stroke or something, right? He just stood there, and his right-hand man, John Thune, was standing to his left shoulder. And he didn't say anything. Everybody know what to say.
What is that noise, Gene?
McConnell. It sounds like Mitch McConnell walking in his shoes after he got pissed in him.
I know it. He's terrible. Now, this is the real story behind Barack Obama's secret life. According to
this trick to power your home for pennies has made energy companies furious.
What the hell?
This simple trick could save you thousands.
Is there any limit to the deception of the mainstream media?
This is for Nash D'Souza.
He is involved in a sex scandal.
And he's going to interview Larry Sinclair, who had a gay relationship with Barack Obama.
Larry Sinclair. What do you do for a living, Mr. Sinclair?
Currently, I run a nonprofit in Cocoa building affordable housing.
Now, in 2008, when Obama announced his candidacy for president, you made some explosive allegations about him that dated back to some events that occurred in 1999. Is that the year that you met Barack Obama?
It is.
Where did you meet him?
Outside of a bar in Chicago.
What were you doing?
I was on a night out. Had asked a limo driver if he knew anyone that would be interested in showing me around the town. And it was clear for the limo driver that I was looking for someone to enjoy the night with. The introduction was made through the limo driver.
And what happened?
We had a few drinks. I had made some comments about wanting Coke, so we got in the limo and left, and we started drinking. I started snorting. He started smoking. I actually put my hand on his knee and started to rub up his thigh, and I performed oral sex on Barack Obama. The following day, I actually get a knock on my hotel room door in Gurnee, Illinois, only to find Barack Obama standing in front of it. He had actually come back for seconds. I performed oral sex on him in the hotel room at the Comfort Inn and Suites in Gurnee, Illinois.
It must be pretty damn good.
Were there drugs involved on the second night as well?
There was.
Who produced those?
He actually brought those with him.
Now, Obama at that time was a state senator.
I actually had no idea who he was.
And then when did you find out that it was Barack Obama?
Watching the 2004 DNC convention.
Thank you very much, everybody. God bless you. Thank you.
And it hit me, and at the time, I was just kind of floored.
Good afternoon. My name is Montgomery Blair Sibley. I'm the attorney for Larry Sinclair.
Now, you have this press conference.
I performed fellatio on Senator Obama in the limousine during the time Senator Obama was smoking crack cocaine.
After the press conference, you are arrested
by the D.C. Police Department upon the orders of Beau Biden, Attorney General for Delaware.
This is Biden's son, Beau Biden.
It is. Apparently, he had a grand jury indictment from 2 weeks after I went public on Obama accusing me of theft that never took place.
Shortly before you made these allegations about Obama, you were contacted, you say, by a man named Donald Young.
Donald Young was the choir director in Jeremiah Wright's church in Chicago.
This is the church Obama attended.
Exactly.
And what did Donald Young tell you?
That he, too, had intimate relations with Barack Obama and had for years, and that I needed to protect myself, that they were going to come after me.
What happened to him?
He was shot point blank in his apartment in Chicago.
Whoa. The murder was never solved?
No, it wasn't.
Donald Young's mother subsequently made a public comment, I believe reported in one of the tabloids. What did she say?
She wanted to know why her son had to die to protect his friend, the president, which was referring to Barack Obama.
Did you have this kind of a conversation where you describe what happened to you on any of the major networks?
No.
Did the New York Times or the Washington Post interview you?
No.
Have you heard of Stormy Daniels?
Who hasn't heard of Stormy Daniels?
On the alleged affair between Donald Trump and adult film star Stormy Daniels. Please welcome Stormy Daniels.
Please welcome Stormy Daniels. Here we go.
22 million viewers tuned in to 60 Minutes Sunday to hear Stormy Daniels' story.
I hereby, along with my colleague Mayor Pro Tem John D'Amico, declare it Stormy Daniels Day in the city of West Hollywood.
What happened to Larry Sinclair Day?
Whether or not you believe their stories, these two did not get equal treatment from the media. The power of the media is not just the power to twist the news, it's to make the news and even to fabricate the news. What's the solution? We have to create alternative forms of media, and we have to reduce the power of the media in our minds.
What happened? Oh, that's it.
I thought I hung up accidentally for a minute.
Oh, I thought I didn't.
What's that guy's name? Donald Young?
Yeah, that was the choir head of the, you know, the choir, whatever you call him.
This is Donald Young in Chicago, who's a tennis player.
Well, I don't
but
know
he's
if this.
Still living.
This guy has been dead, and well, I was telling you about him. I haven't heard this Dinesh D'Souza interview, but I heard about the choir leader way back about the time Larry Sinclair was talking.
This is in 2007, and it's a story by a reputable news service too. ABC7 Chicago.
Oh, did you look it up?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I sent it to you.
Because I haven't looked it up. I just remember a long time ago I did. I looked it up, but my memory is about shot. So
yeah, I know what you mean, man. It's so much stuff to keep up with.
Yeah, that was a long time ago for me, back in 2007. But Marston was that guy I was talking about. He was the investigative reporter that was talking about Rahm Emanuel and Barry Obama going to the gay bathhouse in Chicago all the time. And they called him Barry, and that's what he went by. So
I seen Obama, they showed a clip of him and Michelle at some event. I think it was a tennis event.
Yeah.
And she didn't look too happy.
No, she didn't. That was the other day, yeah. She didn't look happy at all. No, he was smiling, though. He was smiling.
Yeah. This guy was a choir conductor. They usually, the choir conductors, you got to watch them around your kids, man.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know. All I know is, the mother even came out and said that about her
Trinity
son.
Trinity United Church of Christ.
Well, that's Reverend Wright's church.
Jeremiah Wright.
Yep.
I just sent you the email.
Oh, okay. Well, I got to get it. I'm not on my email yet. There's something.
Well, you know, it's funny how these FBI can go back when Kavanaugh was 12 years old and all that bull crap. And they can't find nothing out on this damn Obama.
Yeah. Yeah. Now somebody just
or Biden
this
or any Biden or Clinton or Pelosi or what's his name Nader or whatever his name is or what's her name Maxine Waters or those guys we can't find nothing on. Isn't that amazing?
Look at the Paul. Pelosi's husband, Paul, gets in a fight with this guy and takes a hammer at him or something like that.
Yeah.
Police found the guys in his damn drawers.
Yeah, both of them.
And he opens the door with a drink in his hand.
Yeah, and you don't hear nothing else about it. Not a dang thing about it. They
Give us a break. Come on in, officers.
Yes.
What can I do for you?
Larry just sent me this, and it's, I don't know what it is, but it's a song, and it's Pastor Manning.
This stuff is getting to be too much.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry, Blunt Bianchi. Oh. You made a post about the Rashami? Rashami, or whatever his name is?
Nobody could hear it. Could they? Damn.
Nope, we couldn't hear it. Anyways, and he made a comment that, you know, you needed to dig a little deeper into him. And he even admits that he took money from Soros' brother for college and then come to find out he's a millionaire. And somebody is telling me that I'm lying on your post. I'm like, no, you need to dig a little deeper in the boy. There's some excerpts from his book, too, that, you know, it's like, are you just a little plant?
Well, I know about those. I was making comments on his talking points.
Yeah. Well, you guys will be able to hear this now, I think. Hang on. Larry, I'm going to play it.
Choir conductor. I gave it to Laurie. Laurie, you got it in your Facebook. Let me see if I can find Gene. There's Gene right there. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Okay, while you're doing that, Larry, I'm going to play this. It's only 2 minutes.
God's going to put a cancer in the butthole of every sodomite. Every sodomite butthole will get cancer in the butthole. It'll burn and burn. They won't be able to sit down because of the burning in their butthole.
That's Pastor Manning.
God's going to put a cancer in the butthole. They won't be able to sit down because of the burning in their butthole. He can't sit down. He's got a burning in his butthole. He's got a fire. He's got a flame coming out of his butthole. God's going to have a flame coming out of your butthole. You're going to have a flame coming out of your butthole. You ain't seen nothing yet. Until you see the flaming butthole, your butthole will be flaming. You have a flame coming out of your butthole. And there'll be people walking around all over America with flames coming out of their butthole. Everyone who takes it up the rear, everyone who has a penis injected in his butthole, when that penis comes out, the flame will start burning. That flame will be an eternal flame coming out of the butthole of every sodomite. Flame coming out of the butthole. Flame coming out of your butt. That man pulls that.
All right. Jesus. That's... I don't know who did this.
That one. Big butt. I cannot deny. Sorry.
Whoa. Pastor Manning. My boy. I love that guy.
You butthole.
Anybody puts a penis in his butthole will be flaming. Jesus. Oh, I love the man. I love the man.
Butthole. I love that. Everything is a butthole, butthole, butthole.
Uh-huh.
Penis out of you, a flame is going to come out and go out of the butthole again because it will be a fire.
Oh, flame shooting out of their behind. You're going to see the power of God. Flame of fire is going to come out their butthole.
Yeah,
you know, I'm going to tell you something. People that do that kind of stuff, in my community, they call it nasty.
Yeah.
Just plain downright nasty.
Yeah.
You know what my husband always said? My husband always says, how can one man look at another man's hairy ass and find love?
I don't have a clue.
Well, they call that eating salad.
Tossing salad.
Tossing salad.
There you go. Right.
Heart swimming.
Woo! Okay, let me get, I don't...
Maybe we need to go to a different subject.
Yes. Yes, we do. Skype, you're on.
Hello there, family, one and all. It's great to hear you guys tonight. I know you're having a lot of fun with this. And I'd like to join in on the party if I might, Sarge.
You're more than welcome to, Sarge.
are you gonna say football too?
Yeah, Sarge. Yeah.
Sarge, we tried to get a hold of Donnie the other night. Couldn't get a hold of him. Here he is. Tell him.
I will be happy to tell him everything. I would like. He probably knows already. He's a pretty well informed guy, man. Look at what he's putting on tonight. He's bringing back a legion of memories for me, because I was living in Chicago and I was acutely aware of all of this at the time. And you know, before I get into the subject of Obama, I mean, I love Reverend Manning too. And while his delivery may be a little bit bombastic, it is, because he is, after all, a preacher. He is actually giving an actual truth. Because if you want to think of a more, I cannot think of a more perfect route for the transmission of disease than somebody's anus, especially one that's being used in sexual activity, whether it's a man or a woman. Now,
right.
you look at the vagina. The vagina is a pretty rugged bit of tissue. I mean, first of all, look at what it's got to do. It's got to serve as a pathway for the passage of a baby. And then it's got an alkaline environment that tends to be anti-pathogen, antibacterial. So, I mean, it was made for sexual intercourse, literally. God literally created it to maybe made for sexual intercourse, literally. The anus is meant for excretion. That's it. And the tissues around there are easily ruptured. I can't think of and the capillaries are easily damaged. I cannot think of a better route for the transmission of disease other than a direct injection into the bloodstream.
That's right. That's right.
But look, when you get back to Barack Obama and what we're talking about here with him, look, the one thing that your little presentation didn't mention was that Larry Sinclair, I believe before he was arrested by Bo Biden, he passed one or two lie detector tests.
He did.
Administered by an independent polygraph examiner.
That's right. He did. Yeah, I mentioned that earlier. You must not have been on. Yeah, he passed.
I wanted to hear what was that. No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah,
and I find that really remarkable considering all of the stock that, leftists tend to put in polygraph examiners, of course, only when it bolsters their case, you know, but they don't even want to mention the fact that he passed polygraph exam.
No.
When I was working for Alan Keyes and for Jim Oberweis in their campaigns in Illinois, I attempted to speak at Reverend Wright's church twice as a surrogate speaker for Alan Keyes. I went to Reverend Wright to speak on his behalf when he ran against Barack Obama in 2004. Then when Jim Oberweis ran in 2008 for governor, I again tried to go there. Now, the first time, I got an utter, total, and absolute rejection. They didn't want to hear it, and they made it clear they were hostile to the idea of me even speaking on behalf of Alan Keyes. I mean, I don't think I would have gotten a colder reception at a Ku Klux Klan rally. They wanted nothing to do with me. So when I went back again in 2008, I got a similar reception, only this time I decided to really kind of stick the needle into them. So I don't know why you guys are so mad at me, because I knew I wasn't going to get anywhere. And probably I shouldn't have done it, because it might have reflected badly in an Oberweis campaign. I was an official representative for his campaign for the southern region of Cook County, but I just couldn't resist it. I said, I don't know why you guys are so mad at me. I ain't going to talk about Donald Young or Larry Sinclair. And boy, I thought they were going to pull their knives out. I better get out of there while the getting was good.
Oh, yeah. Now, you
when
were in Chicago. Now, you were. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bianchi.
No, I was just saying, wonder he didn't get lynch.
Oh, yeah. Well, how?
I might have. If I'd have stayed, I might have.
You were in Chicago. Now, the head of the Department of Education or something like that in Chicago was found floating in the river.
I don't think it was that he was the superintendent of the Board of Education. I think he was a deputy, and I can't remember his name.
I can't
he
either.
He was a deputy superintendent or something like that.
But he belonged to the church, too. And that was kind of peculiar to me that these people are ended up dying that had a connection with Obama.
Well, the body count of the Obamas and the Clintons is quite astounding. I mean, it rivals some of the more combat-involved units in Vietnam.
Yeah. Well, I was just wondering, when you guys were talking about this, are Obama and Clinton in a competition to see who can have more?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. All of the Clintons are actually the winners, hands down, but I think Obama might have been buying toward the spot.
Oh yeah.
He's a little jealous. He's gotta ramp it up.
How about the guy they
But you gotta remember now, Obama stole Hillary Clinton's rightful place in 2008. You gotta remember that.
Yeah.
He stole it from. She never really forgave him for that and never really got over that. This upstart from Illinois, who was 2 years the United States Senator, he'd only been a state senator before that. And a community activist, he just stole her place. She had her place stolen by two men. That woman ain't never gotten over that. She never will.
No. And, it was funny that Kennedy was going to run for Senate from New York. If you guys remember, he was talking about it.
Yep.
Anyway. I don't know. And all of a sudden, there was a plane wreck. Don't forget that.
I thought he was in a helicopter.
No, he was in a plane. He was flying.
Who was in a helicopter that something I had to do with the Clintons? There was somebody in the helicopter, I thought, too. I thought it was Kennedy.
I'm thinking about the guy they just found on Clinton. I think it was Clinton's property in Arkansas that hung himself and shot himself. And it was suicide. That happened 2 months ago or 3 months ago.
Oh. That's very, I like the suicides where they shoot themselves in the back of the head.
Oh, yeah, that happened.
Why are you saying it?
Yeah, Fort Moxie Park, yeah. Then maybe the bullets travel a different direction in the atmosphere at Fort Moxie Park. Might be atmospheric.
Yeah, who was that suicide where they were shot. They apparently somehow shot themselves with a shotgun and hung themselves, and the gun was found like 25 feet away.
Yeah.
But it was ruled a suicide.
It was about
they used the Rube Goldberg. He used the Rube Goldberg suicide device.
Well, I don't think
and
it was the
kinda,
one that was shot in the back of the head.
And it was made so it would automatically disappear itself when the deed was done.
But I also figured out the one that was shot in the back of the head. He was really good at geometry, and he figured out how to ricochet that bullet off of things to get himself in the back of the head.
There you go.
Yep.
How about the guy that they found in Arkansas in a dump with his head was severed off, and they said that was suicide. And that was when Clinton was governor. And those two kids...
Yeah.
Those two kids that went out hunting and ended up killing themselves. They said it was they fell asleep on the railroad tracks, which now they had another autopsy by somebody else that it wasn't from Arkansas, and they said they were put there. They were already dead when they were put on the tracks, and they seen drop of drugs in the field. They were in a field, and they think they were they seen these drugs being dropped from the plane, and the plane landed in Mena, Arkansas. If anybody knows anything about Mena, Arkansas, and the Clintons, or Bill Clinton anyway, boy, I stopped a conversation in a minute.
Well, Don, we get used to you chastising us.
I didn't do nothing wrong.
I didn't say you did. We don't want to get chastised, so we don't, we wait.
Well, when there's a pause, somebody ought to jump in.
Well, yeah. Sometimes we try to when there's a pause. And then we get, I wasn't done. I'm just kidding.
I know.
I'm in a mood tonight.
I noticed that. New York City, they're going to have masks again. They're recommending masks for Labor Day travel.
Well, they already have a school that's shutting down because of COVID.
It was in Atlanta, I think.
They're closing a school because of so many teachers were out with COVID. Maybe it was Arkansas, I can't remember. Anyways, and they've got the protocols again of the social distancing and the masks and the da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And so many people are like, here's the middle finger. We ain't complying. You fooled me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame.
Well, they're saying now there's a two new COVID variants they have discovered. So,
okay, here's the deal. How can they discover new variants?
Or did they make them?
How can they discover? How can they discover new variants when they've never actually isolated the very first COVID break or COVID-19 virus? They've never isolated one. How can they do variants then?
It doesn't make sense. No, nothing they do makes sense.
And, then Biden's talking about a new vaccine again. They're trying to do a mandate. Well, a mandate, number one, ain't a law. Just ain't.
Yeah. Somebody just sent me this. Maui, they're still missing 385 people.
Well, how about all the children that are missing?
Well, yeah. They won't say how many.
Here's something I saw.
Nobody
here's
cares about
I saw.
That, apparently.
Hold on.
Here's something I saw. The day of the fires, before the fire hit, where the buses were parked, they were all accounted for. After the fires, where the buses are parked was not touched by the flames in any way, shape, or form, and more than half of the buses were missing. Kids did not have school that day. Were these kids basically kidnapped? And now in their little, rings? It's something that raises the question of, where'd those buses go? And why were those buses not touched by the fire?
Probably the same reason I can't even think of it. Bezos and his house wasn't touched.
And Gates. Gates?
Yeah, Gates. His house wasn't touched. And the Queen of...
And Oprah?
Oprah. Yeah, it wasn't touched either.
Yeah, the Queen. What's astonishing to me is that, that's suspicious enough. But the director of resources on Hawaii, whatever his title is, he's the one who decided to withhold water from the firefighters for over 5 hours in the interest of diversity for water distribution to taro farmers.
Yeah.
I've never heard of anything that insane. That man obviously because we're all in shock.
Yep.
I got one that'll top that. I'll tell you. You go and look at photos of Maui, in Lahaina. And why are there blue barrels not singed? Why are there blue cars not singed? Why is there blue awnings not singed? Why is there a blue carport not touched, but the vehicle underneath it is singed gone? Why is everything that's blue not touched? Why is the front of a vehicle, it's just crazy. The only explanation I can come up with is direct energy weapons. That is the only thing that makes any sense at all. Seen demonstrations about the direct energy weapons that we actually, the United States, has a patent on, that they did a patent in 2000s. I can't remember the exact date. They have a patent on direct energy weapons, and they've shown shown videos how they're used, and they have to be basically programmed to. They cannot automatically incinerate everything in its path. It has to have at least one.
Who shot the weapon?
One. I'm sorry.
Who fired that weapon? And from where?
I don't know. I mean, the speculation is obviously the government, and for the land grab, because they've been trying to get that land for a long time. But also, Lahaina was the capital of Hawaii prior to us trying to take it over. And actually, I don't know if Lorianne shared this or somebody else, but Hawaii is not a state. It is not a state. It is a territory, but it is not a state. In our documents, in our own United States documents, I saw the documents, I should have shared them to you, but it's not a state.
Were you saying the Constitution and the Fifth Amendment, Article 5 in 1959, you saying that did not happen?
It is not a state. That's all. The way it is written in it's not in the Constitution. I don't think. I can't remember what the document was from, but it was a .gov government document.
Well, they have six representatives in the House of Representatives. I think they have six. They got two U.S. senators. So if they're not a state,
somebody's
violating the Constitution.
I agree. But that's the lie that they have perpetuated, you know? It's like when you dig deep, it's technically not a state. It's a territory.
Well, they all territories that they voted and they're ratified to become a state.
Hawaii never, ever voted to become a state. Never.
Well, you'd have to look up the Federal Registry during that time and see what the yeas and nays were.
There was vote. There was
vote. The territorial legislature had to submit a application for statehood to the Congress of the United States, and that would have to be part, as Bianchi said, that would have to be part of the a document that's in the Federal Register.
No, what happened was we basically went in and we took Hawaii. We invaded them. We took them and said, guess what, you're a state.
Well, we invaded a lot of places on North America that became states. I mean, after all, the Mexican-American War, we acquired all the territory at the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo. So I don't think it's a disqualifier that you take territory by force. That's not the question. Is what the Constitution requires for a state to be admitted into the Union is quite clear, and the territory has to make an official request to the Congress through their state legislature or whatever governing body they have in place for that purpose. And then once that is received by Congress, Congress then has to approve their admission by a vote of either two-thirds or three-fourths. I forget what it is.
Yeah, it passed the Senate in March. It passed the House in 1959.
Okay, where does it show the request? Where does it show the request by Hawaii to do so? And where does it show the vote by Hawaii to do so?
Well,
there was
the vote,
no vote
is definitely on the congressional record. The vote is definitely there. I've seen the vote. The vote is in the congressional record by the both houses of Congress. Both of them had to vote on it.
No,
it was a very public vote.
No,
I remember I was alive. I was alive when Hawaii was ratified. I remember it was kind of a. I remember reading Life magazine.
That's not what I said. Where is the vote that Hawaii wanted to do it?
You mean the referendum they submitted?
Yeah, it's in public law 86-3. 86-3.
Everything I researched, they are not a state. They are not a territory.
They're the admission of the state of Hawaii into the union.
I'm pretty sure it was done pretty much according to the constitutional, including the referendum that Congress received and the application they received requesting to be admitted into the union. Any territory, any place, anywhere in the world, if they want to, they can apply to be admitted into the Union of the United States. It's up to Congress to consider it or reject it. Hell, Luxembourg could say we want to be in the Union, and they could submit a petition to Congress to say we want to be admitted into the Union of the United States. And Congress could then consider it or reject it.
That's true. You're right. Jean?
What?
No.
I'm telling you, I saw the document that is Hawaii was taken by force. It was never voted on by Hawaii. I'm not talking about the Congress or the Senate. I'm talking about Hawaii. And if you even talk to or listen to Native Hawaiians, they know their history very, very well. And they even say, we are not a state. Now, if we truly were a state, why did they not get more help from the continental states?
We have revanchist movements right here in the United States that claim Mexico never gave up the territories in Nevada, Arizona, California, Oregon.
True.
All those territories got in the Mexican-American War. They say Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo was invalid, and that actually the Aztlan, they call them La Meca and Aztlan, out there, a big active movement out there in the western part of the United States to say that all those territories that the United States acquired in the Mexican-American War are still part of Mexico. And they're serious. They believe it.
Well, the United States paid Mexico. Originally, they were going to pay them $30 million. After the war, they dropped it to $15 million, and they took the money.
Yeah, because they fought a war. They would have given them $30 million if they hadn't forced the United States into a war. Well, it was kind of a mutual thing. Both sides, the Mexicans and the United States, wanted a war to determine where the southern border of the United States was. The United States said it was the Rio Grande. The Mexicans said it was the Nueces River. They were having little border skirmishes about it long. Both sides were saying we got to settle this through the war, and that's what eventually happened. But the United States was trying to buy it from Mexico before the war. They're going to give them $30 million. And then because they fought a war, they cut it in half. So, okay, we'll still give you money if you sign the treaty. We're not going to give you as much as we were going to give you, and you made us fight a war over it.
That's the same thing with those Indian tribes. They said, we're not giving up our property unless you pay us. And the U.S. paid them over $300,000. The last payment was to one tribe, Indian tribe, I think it was the Choctaw, but I'm not sure. That was in like 1952. They got the balance of their money.
Yep.
For letting their slaves go.
Yep. Yeah. They didn't want to let the world go without compensation because, after all, they weren't governed by the Constitution, strictly speaking. They were sovereign Indian tribes. And in order for them to give up the tribe, they said, well, look, you got to compensate us for giving up our, quote, property, unquote.
I'm sorry. I was reading something.
That's okay, Jean.
Let's see. The U.S. federal law was amended in 1993 with the Apology Resolution, which acknowledges that the overthrow of the Kingdom of Hawaii occurred with the active participation of agents and citizens of the United States, and further acknowledges that the Native Hawaiian people never directly relinquished to the United States their claims to their inherent sovereignty as people over the national lands.
That is why certain things in the state of the Hawaii Constitution do make reference to that fact. But as you point out, taking territory by conquest is recognized internationally. I mean, it just is a fact of life amongst nations. There's no nation on earth that doesn't. I mean, after all, look what Israel got in the Six-Day War. Look at what Poland got after World War II when Germany lost its most powerful state, Prussia. Prussia is no longer part of Germany. It's part of Poland now. That's the way these things work. Violence literally makes borders.
Well, there is a lawsuit at this time that's Hawaii Kingdom versus Biden. It was filed December 14th, 2022.
I understand, and who knows? It might get some traction. I know it might, but I'm just saying the manner of acquisition of territory is not necessarily negated by the fact that it was conquered.
Well, part of this where I was going with that was Lahaina had the most concise historical and legal records, and those two buildings were gone in that fire, just gone.
Yeah.
Suspicious.
Look, we know what happened and why is definitely suspicious, and it stinks to high heaven, and somebody definitely on investigating. Now we're talking about what was done to American citizens, and somebody ought to look at
it. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally would say in the lack of effort and relief that was sent to them, there is no reason that they could not have sent boats, the Coast Guard, out there to retrieve people out of the water. There was no reason they couldn't do that at all. But did you know that Russia actually sent a medical boat to help those people?
Yeah,
and they
I did.
Were,
who
and
did?
They were blocked.
Wait,
Russia.
Who did?
Russia.
Russia.
Yeah.
Sent a medical boat.
Mm-hmm.
And it was being said, oh, they're sending a spy boat or a war. Oh, I guess I can't think of my words. Oh, basically a war boat, you know. And it's like, no, it was clearly a medical boat, and they were being blocked from coming in to help those people in Lahaina.
Well, hell, Russian sailors helped fight the San Francisco fire, and they lost 200 and some odd sailors.
Yeah. Japanese sent blankets and other medical aid in the wake of the San Francisco earthquake in 1906.
Well, they wanted to send things on 9/11, and the Bush administration turned them down.
Yeah, the Saudis. I think the Saudis did.
Yeah.
With the Qatar, one of those.
People would have getting at even Americans.
People.
Our government did not send in those kind of boats. They waited forever. They waited forever. They were personal, private citizens that were trying to take their boats in to go help people get out of the water, rescue people off the shore.
They were
denied. They were turned away. They were blocked.
They couldn't come into the state of Hawaii unless the governor invited them. No matter what the problem was, that's the same way it was with Katrina in Louisiana. The governor.
But tell me why, though, the private citizens.
The governor of Louisiana had to okay for the federal government to send FEMA and that into their state.
I'm not talking about FEMA. I'm talking about people that lived there that had boats that were trying to go and rescue people out of the water immediately. And
well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, but I know
the international laws of the sea allow anyone to rescue anyone in international waters. Now, the question is, were those boats in international waters? Because the sovereign waters of the United States are always controlled by the government in whom those sovereign waters reside.
I'm talking about Hawaii. We're not able to get close enough because of the being blocked by the United States government to be able to get in there to help people, rescue people.
Well, yeah, they went.
Somebody's saying that the 3 mile limit, 3 mile limit is generally considered international waters. You're saying they were not allowed to come within the 3 mile territorial limit?
Yeah, they weren't. They were being turned away when they were trying to go into, you know, close to the coast where people were jumping into the water and hanging on to the, you know, the rocks and
the
stuff
buoys
to escape the fires. They were literally being turned away, not allowed to even get close enough to them to rescue them.
Like, you see a rescue boat, and another boat says, go away.
Yeah. Well, they shouldn't have done that, even though technically speaking, they could have, because, you know, they're a foreign registered ship coming into American waters. I mean, technically, yes, they can keep them from coming in. But as a matter of humanity, a humanitarian gesture, they should have just disregarded the rules. Maybe Russia could have issued an apology later or whatever. But if they were genuinely there to rescue the people, as a humanitarian thing, they should have let them come on and do what they could have.
So we're not talking about, Russia at the moment. We're talking about the actual residents of Hawaii, of Maui. Residents of Maui were turned away and not able to go and help rescue other residents of Maui.
Yes.
Well, somebody will look into that. Somebody will definitely look into that then.
I want somebody resigned. I don't know who it was, if it was one of the state or one of our federal FEMA officials, but they blocked people from leaving, and they blocked people from going in to look at their kids.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let them in. And this whole thing is very suspicious. Very suspicious.
Definitely.
And they're making excuses for them.
Definitely suspicious, no doubt about that. And, you know, I can't see how they would stop anybody's rescue efforts within the territorial boundaries of the United States. I wouldn't care if it was coming from North Dakota. If somebody's flying a flight plan, they haven't followed the flight plan, and they're coming here to rescue people, you know, I mean, hey, let them in there to the rescue. You can deal with their administrative violations later.
Yeah. Yeah,
who gives a shit about administrative violations at that point?
Yeah, I mean, forget that. I mean, at the point, saving life is paramount over every other consideration.
The whole freaking
thing
down, for God's sakes. Outside of a few billion and millionaire houses, now it was the only thing left. They found cars that were torched that wasn't even in there. And they don't know how that happened either. And, they were looking at the aluminum was melted, the glass was melted, and there was two cars, and they weren't even there. And the grass wasn't burnt. I mean, they don't. Jesus, I don't get.
I'll tell you what, guys. If I'd have been in one of those columns of cars being blocked by the police, having been a former police officer charged with directing traffic at emergency and all that, and I saw an approaching firestorm behind me, and I got some cops sitting there saying, you got to stay here and wait for whatever reason. I got an off-road vehicle. I'm putting in low gear, low transportation, low range, four-wheel drive, and I'm climbing over whatever obstacles I can get over to go around.
Exactly.
If he wants to shoot at me, let him shoot at me, because I'm going. I'm not waiting for that firestorm to take me and my family out.
No, you're exactly
absolutely
right. You're right on the money. You bet. I would
have it would have only taken one to do it for the rest of them just to follow suit.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I understand the need to control traffic in emergencies. I mean, I get it. There is such a need. But when there's an approaching firestorm, and I mean, those things move like 30, 40, 50 miles an hour. When you see the fire, hey, all bets are off. Evacuate. Everybody's got to go for themselves at that point.
That's right.
Because they're surely going to be cooked when a firestorm reaches them. People have any understanding what a firestorm is? A firestorm occurs when fires emerge, and the heat and the wind currents create convection, and they literally turn into tornadoes of fire.
a literal storm of fire. It happened in Hamburg. It happened in Dresden. It happened in Tokyo when they firebombed those cities. What happened in Maui was a smaller scale version of that. You got to get going. You cannot withstand a firestorm. You can't fight it even with the best firefighting equipment. The best you can do is create a fire break, but you can't fight that fire until it burns itself off when it's a firestorm. Right.
Yeah, that's right. That is right. Bring it, boy. How you doing in the chat room? What is he writing? I get. How about them bears? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's just been a, somebody sent me. Who sent me this? Lori. Lori, another Lori sent me this, and it's, I don't even know what the hell it is, but.
Gene, this your blue Plymouth pickup truck in your webpage?
I'm sorry, what?
On your Facebook page, this your blue pickup truck? Look like a 1941.
Oh, the little flag thing with the flag and the flowers?
The flowers in the bed? Man, you need to take that in the house. That thing is worth about $250,000.
Well, you know, I wish I could take that in the house, but, you know. I wish it was sitting in my driveway.
But what is it again? What is it?
Yeah, what is it?
It's a drawing.
It's on our Facebook page. It's a... Look like a 38-37 pickup truck, a coupe.
Oh.
And they're using it for a flower bed.
A flower bed.
And it's got a flag and...
A
is it,
flower
is it operational? I mean, is it capable of running? Or is it, are you like, been gutted?
It's a drawing, people. It's a
drawing. Oh, well.
Oh.
You got to speak up there, Gene. Come on.
I tried to. Oh, by the way, I was in there and I was trying to tap on the picture so I could, you know, put it in the group chat, right? And
uh-huh.
I forgot my account is restricted until the 20th. They restricted me for, it was a photo of, it was Bin Laden and Hillary, Bin Laden and Obama and Bin Laden and some that I posted 3 years ago. I posted that picture 3 years ago.
Yeah, I got a ding on my Lucid Libertarian page for a post that I did like 8 months ago. And they already previously dinged me for it is the thing. So they already previously marked my, you know, page and I was restricted way back, 8, 9 months ago when I originally posted it. And I go to it yesterday, and they're dinging me again. They didn't restrict me, but now that, you know, my page is lower in the feed and everything, for the same fucking post. So I'm getting punished twice for the same post.
Right. I posted this, like, in 2020. And it was, like, it was Rice, Obama, and Hillary. And it was their post. I want to say it was a picture with what's his name? Doggone, I can't think of it. When you say anyways, but I posted it over 3 years ago, and I'm like, why are you going back in my account 3 years? It makes no sense.
Well. Biden thus far has sent $95 million to aid rebuilding Maui, which, by the way, in case you guys are interested, that's less than 0.1% of the $135 billion that Biden is spending on Ukraine with no end in sight. 0.1% of what he's sending to Ukraine.
Well, he sent less, you know, to them, and he don't care. He doesn't care. That's another reason why it's like, why Why are they so unimportant, so to speak, for government? They should be way more important than Ukraine, at all, you know, above a way above Ukraine, but they're not.
Well, and here's another thing for you guys' consideration here. We are looking, too, at another example of racial intersection wars among ethnic groups created by these leftists. And I'm going to tell you what it is. I've been wanting to talk to somebody about it for a while, but nobody's really ever brought it up like that. I didn't bring it up tonight, and I think it's time to start delving into it. Now, what looks like, to a certain extent, and there's certainly a lot of incompetence among the government officials in Hawaii, it's really kind of an ongoing racial conflict happening in Hawaii. You got leftist activists, mostly white and black, who organized many of the Polynesian references, who are often called Native Hawaiians, but they're actually people of mainly Polynesian.
You're breaking up.
Oh, okay, how about now? Better?
No.
Anyway, these mainly Polynesian people, they've been organized by these activists into their own system that's got a lot of leverage over the bureaucracy in Hawaii. Now, these water right conflicts, stations, and the so-called native cultivationists, that's what they call them, it led to this denial of water for the firefighters to fight the fires. And this guy named M. Kaleo Manuel, this guy is the deputy director of the Hawaii Commission on Water Resource Management. This guy, if you notice, you got all these pro-Polynesian activists and the media coming to his defense, and since what he was really defending was this thing they call native cultivation against the sugarcane plantation. So even with the wildfires going on, the Hawaii Supreme Court rejected a petition from the state government to free up the water to fight the fires. The state was not allowed to divert water that was being wasted for customary Hawaiian practices and ecological balance. And I think they've got something in that written into their state constitution. So, I mean, we are looking at what happens when these Marxists start all this racial intersectionalism, and it butts up against the realities of having to protect their citizenry. We damn sure better start rethinking this.
It shows how much they actually care about the U.S. citizen, air finger quotes, U.S. citizens.
Yeah.
They don't. They're trying to kill us, and we know it.
Yeah, you know what they call, oftentimes they call people, and they've been using this term for a long time. They call them haoles, and those are the people they consider colonized and conquered the island. Now, the Polynesians had originally conquered it. It's not like they just came there peaceably from somewhere else. When they got to the Hawaiian Islands, they enslaved the original people that were there. They tattooed their heads, and they started using them as human sacrifices. And, you know, all the time making Captain Cook like some kind of saint or something. So, yeah, I mean, everybody's got some, you know, misdeeds in every group of people. Has misdeeds in the past, but the only misdeeds we seem to be focusing on now are the misdeeds of North Americans and or European settlers. Those are the only ones that seem to matter. Nobody else's are ever relevant in any discussion. It's really kind of maddening, as though history didn't exist until Europeans started going around colonizing places.
Sorry,
and the worst part of it is they're using it has a stalking horse, this guilt of the past, these sins of the past, as a stalking horse to fundamentally transform our constitutional system. We must never lose sight of that. That is the reason they keep doing this.
Sorry, I'm you waiting, you know, making sure you're done. Sorry.
I
fully agree. Where'd everybody else go? They disappeared. Like, real quick, didn't they?
Right here.
I'm on mute still as well. Just listening for now.
And that's unusual.
But you're absolutely right.
Oh, Daniel or Kathy is here. We're going to get 336. 336 is spinning and you're on.
That would be me, Donnie.
Hi, Kathy. And 336, you're on.
Hello,
I don't know.
Kathy.
Hey there, Lori and Jean and Sarge and Bianchi.
And Senna.
Hey, Kathy.
I can't remember all those names. But I'll just say hi.
Hi.
Hey, there's
hey, Joe.
Joseph.
Hello.
Wow.
I was going to say, too, the reason my account, it says I violated community standards for showing pictures of these people. That's all it was, just
pictures.
Man.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's a post of showing Osama bin Laden photographed with, like, Hillary Clinton and several other politicians,
Obama.
You know, the people in the U.S. government that trained and funded him. Apparently, she's restricted for showing actual photos of them together. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Makes perfect sense.
These people will do anything to stop you from receiving any information that's counter to their narrative.
Yes,
anything.
They say that
you
I posted it within the last year, but when I looked at that post, it was dated 3 years ago. And I'm like, but it says you, in the last year, didn't follow our community standards. Some of your content in the last year did that. And I'm like, what? Okay.
Damn.
Whatever. They're so full of shit. They don't want the truth out there. Nobody,
no,
they're doing everything they can to keep the truth from coming out.
I sent them a response. Say, how can I get my account restricted fully and completely forever? What do I have to post? Can you please tell me? That's what
anything. Look at what the prevailing narrative is, and then to make sure, if you want to get your post done away with forever, go contrary 180 degrees to what their prevailing narrative is, then you know what you can't say.
Post photos of Hunter Biden in his underwear. That'll do it. That's the post that
with
I've been seeing
pipe.
For twice.
Oh, is that what
with
I got?
Yeah, but in his, if it's the one in his underwear, then it's sexual exploitation.
Oh,
and
forgot.
So, you know, that'll get you restricted.
Is that what?
How about I pay for
when
an
you
ad?
Said things like Hunter Biden's laptop wasn't real, that was enough to get you censored. But they can't go with that anymore because now we all know the data on that computer was real. So now they got to find another way to censor.
Well, I got that Meta account, that business Meta, Facebook Meta thing or whatever, so I'll just pay for an ad, run an ad with that Hunter Biden, you know. I'll pay for it and see what happens. What are they going to do?
You'll get restricted, darling.
Yeah.
Think
or
so.
Kicked right
oh,
off.
Oh, yeah.
Shut you down, baby. You can't say that. Wrong think. Ask Jordan Peterson up there in Canada. He's guilty of wrong think, and now they want to send him to a re-education camp.
Can you believe that?
Yes, I can. Given that Justin Trudeau is the prime minister, you're damn right I can believe it.
Yeah.
Justin Trudeau is the prime minister. He definitely is Fidel Castro's son. He looks like him. He behaves like him. He's got to be Fidel Castro's spawn.
He does look like early pictures of both of them. They look alike.
They're identical. Younger brothers. He could be like his older brother.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what
Donnie,
did you
I
say?
Mentioned that to you a long time ago, that was
yes,
Fidel's son.
Yes, you did.
We've been saying that stuff for a long time, haven't we?
We're
finally catching on. I've got
something on my mind, and I called Donnie the other day.
Yeah.
And I want to hear what the rest of y'all, what your opinion is and what you think. Donnie, it's about that Mnuchin's name, okay?
Yeah,
I want to bring that up.
Okay,
I was giving my brother some dollar bills the other day, and I was just looking at them. You know, they've all got them where they were printed, some Atlanta, some Chicago. Okay. I looked at the signature. The Secretary of Treasury is always on the currency. Everybody agree with that? Okay.
Yes, ma'am. I do.
Yeah.
Okay. Their signature is always on the currency. I looked at a 1 and a 5 and a 10. They were printed in 2017. They had Stephen T. Mnuchin in print, not a signature, not his signature, because I looked his signature up. But
I would say, hang on
printed.
To those are worth money.
Yeah.
I mean, have any of y'all, only 2017, you
yeah,
know?
I'm looking at mine now. I'm looking at series, 2017 A series, and it does look like it's printed. His signature is printed. It looks like
why,
it. Like that.
Why is Mnuchin the only Secretary of Treasury that has his name printed? Now, I had some 2003, 2009, and they were all different Secretary of Treasury.
Right.
Their names were printed. I mean, their signature, the signature was on there.
Yeah.
Mnuchin is the only one that has
How do you account for it then? Do you have an accounting for why this for this anomaly?
I certainly do.
Uh-oh.
Okay, madam, we'll bite. Go for it.
Go, Cathy, go. Give it to him, give it to him.
That United States Corporation is what I'm talking about. That is what I am talking about. Mnuchin is not going to sign his name to anything having to do with a corporation, which is gone now. It's bankrupt. It's defunct. You know, that's what I think. There is no other explanation why he would print his name on the fiat currency that our government doesn't even print or own. The Federal Reserve owns it, all of our currency. I did see 23 coin the other day. So imagine we're still printing coins. But I've heard that somebody has been looking for anything printed after 2017, and there is no money. There is no bills printed after 2017. I mean, y'all check your money from now on and see if you come across any ones or fives or tens or 20s or 50s.
Don't they periodically gather up currency and burn all the old stuff and replace it when it comes to banks and they replace it with newly printed stuff?
Could be. But I'm just saying.
I've seen pictures of them doing it at either the Treasury or the Mint, where they collect up all this old money from the banks, and they replace it with freshly minted or printed money, and they take the old currency and throw it in these big furnaces.
Well, Sarge.
That's what I heard, too.
Sarge, you know, y'all can call me crazy. I don't know. I've had others call me crazy.
But can't I be in the crazy boat with you?
I believe that Trump never left office. I believe Trump has been running a government because he won the election, you know, and I believe the military swore him in, and I think we've got another government that is running this country. This is just a fake government up there, D.C., like Biden is fake. Biden is fake.
Well, I might accept that, but I don't believe Trump could even possibly run a government this badly, even in the shadows. So I don't think Trump has anything to do with this government right now. I don't think it's possible for him to govern this badly.
Well, Trump, I believe he's got his own. And it ain't just Trump. That's the only name that we know, you know. But there is military, intelligence, military. Sarge, I think, and we talked about it before, you know, I think we've Trump signed over the government when he was sworn in to the military. I do. I think we have been under a certain military martial law since Trump was inaugurated. I mean, have you ever seen all the anomalies that we have watched and seen? Have you ever seen a newly elected president come down to give his inaugural speech and the military come down behind him? And when he speaks for a couple of minutes, I'm giving your country back to you, the people, and then the military turns around and walks away. Do you remember that?
The point of martial law is the military administration of all jurisprudence. Now, unless there's a member or an officer of the judge advocate general behind every single federal judge giving them orders or pulling the strings of the ventriloquist or every local prosecutor, I don't see how it's possible for the military to be administering jurisprudence in the United States. The entire point of martial law is to administer the courts.
That's right. That's right. You're right.
So then, but since we don't see that anywhere, how is that possible?
You're not going to see it. You're not going to see it. But I think it has happened. I do.
I agree, Kathy.
Yes, and
Donnie, when me and you was talking, we said that it looked like we're going to have to start subscribing to Daniel and Kathy.
Right.
The only reason this country has not totally collapsed is under that fake administration up there is because there is the Republic. I'm talking about the Republic, the United States, running the show. Why else would we have the trade, if China is such an enemy, and why are we still doing trade with them? Russia, Putin went to Africa. They had a big conference, a lot of the countries there, Russia. And I'm hearing that these French African colonies, are being kicked out. The people are taken to the streets in Africa and kicking out the foreigners. They're wanting their countries back. They want the foreigners out to stop stealing their natural resources. There's a pipeline in Africa. Y'all know about that? It's supposed to go, it's a gas pipeline. From one of the African countries, it's supposed to go up through there, through several countries, and end up in Europe, supposedly these African nations, they're sick and tired of Westerners taking their wealth from them,
They want to sell it now. Don't get it wrong now. They want to sell that stuff. They just want to reap the bulk of profits from it, because they got more of it than what they need for their own purposes. All the surplus, they definitely want to sell it on the world market. They
of course
just want
they
profit
do.
More from it than they do.
Yes, I agree. They want their own wealth. They want to make the profits off of it.
Exactly.
And their uranium, their gold. All their other natural resources. Africa is very, very wealthy in natural resources. Very wealthy.
Yeah, minerals.
Well, here's the thing with Africa. No Western country is going in with shovels and picks taking no minerals out unless the government and who else is responsible lets them do it.
That's right.
Well, that's why the African nations are taken to the streets, kicking out their crooked governments. That's what they're doing right now. Niger. Saw a video about them today. They're wanting France and everybody else to leave their country.
Well, I saw Victoria Nuland in Niger today. I saw a video of her in Niger talking about she's begging for help in rolling back the coup in Niger, which appears to have a great deal of popular support. And this recent BRICS conference, I think that's given Victoria Nuland even more vapors. This woman is a woman who's behind, by the way, the Euromaidan demonstration in Ukraine that got rid of Poroshenko and installed Yanukovych, got rid of Poroshenko, who was friendly to Putin, and put Yanukovych in there, who was friendly to NATO and the European Union. I think that's what started this whole ball rolling on the way to the war in Ukraine. Similarly, Niger is in there to bolster the interest of the world globalist community, too. And she's kind of upset about this coup that just went down in Niger. And she's looking to try to change that, too.
So she is pro-Nigerian government, right?
Yeah, she wants to reinstall the government that was there before the coup.
Uh-huh.
Or people that were at least allied with them.
Well, was it a good government or was it a bad government?
Well, I don't know if you can really call any of the governments in Africa really worthy of being considered minimally good governments, but certainly it was a government that didn't have the popular backing of people. And in that respect, the coup was engineered by those who had the support, if not of all of the people in Niger, a great deal of them.
Yeah, I've been seeing videos about the coup in Niger. I have.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know. I start to know what to think about, though. Whenever I see Victoria Nuland upset about something, I know I should be with the side that's got her upset. That woman is the devil herself. Her and her other minions in the State Department are absolutely demonic.
Yeah. Now, this conference that they just all finished with, African nations, Putin was there. Putin forgave all of their debt. And it had to have been trillions of dollars. Putin forgave all of their debt that the African nations that owed Russia. And then Gene says Russia sends a medical ship to Maui, you know? I mean, something is going on.
Well, they've been forgetting this will last about a year or two and run it back up again.
Well, Victoria Nuland is one of the most heavy-handed interventionists in the United States State Department. She's been directing regime change operations with the State Department.
Yeah, I just posted it in the chat room, your answer.
Huh?
What you were just talking about, the one that was talking, asking the questions about the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
She's been a
real neocon interventionist for at least a decade and a half. She's been advising people like Mitt Romney and Hillary Clinton on interventionism all around the world.
Well, that tells me something about her right there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Nuland is, I think she's probably one of the nastiest ones in government.
Oh, she's awful. She's awful. It's god-awful.
And what did you say about the Federal Reserve a minute ago?
In the chat, I posted the link in the chat room that explains everything. And as a matter of fact, you guys were talking, Sarge, you were talking about it last week, too, citizenship and everything. And what's her face called in? Well, I forget her name, the one that was called in sometimes there. Well, the one up there in California. I forgot. What's her name?
Suzette.
Yeah, there you go. You guys were talking about it. But anyway, it's in the chat room, the link. It's about one page read, so it talks about what you were just talking about.
You take a look at that link. I see it there. I'll take a look at it. Yeah.
Interesting.
Folks, there's a lot going on all over the world. And it's going to come to a head. You know, these BRICS nations, I mean, our dollar bill is not going to be worth the paper it's printed on.
Well, it's a self-inflicted wound. This
well,
country inflicted that wound on itself. The whole point of an international reserve currency is to assure that it's stable. That means you can count on it to be there no matter what happens. When you peg your currency in the form of economic sanctions to a country doing what you desire them to do, then it's no longer stable for that country. They're not going to stick with it. That's why Russia, India, China, and all these other, South Africa and Brazil, that's why they don't want it. They were looking for an alternative to United States currency, because look what Biden did to Russia when they went to Ukraine. I mean, Russia said, oh, no, we cannot rely on a dollar reserve currency if they're going to peg it to us doing something that they don't like. It's not good for us to have this as a reserve currency. So that's why they're seeking an alternate. This is a self-inflicted wound that's coming on us right now. And believe me, when the United States dollar is no longer the world's reserve currency, the people in the United States are going to enjoy a greatly diminished standard of living. There will be no way around it.
I think we already are part of the BRICS, the USA. They just haven't come out with it. I think we already are a part of it. I've seen something on the Internet that we are. They just haven't come out with it.
Well,
but
I don't know about the Internet.
Well,
I've seen this woman, this Assistant Secretary of the Treasury, Raimondo, groveling over there in China to the Chinese, even as their economy is going in the tank.
Kathy?
Yeah.
What?
Kathy?
Yeah.
I've heard that the BRICS is possibly going to usher in the Nasser and the Nasra.
Say what? Say that again.
Your phone's messing up there, Gene.
It is. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Okay. I have heard from truthers that the BRICS, because I think 40 countries were wanting to get in on that.
Yeah.
And what I've heard, and I don't know how true it is, but it is going to usher in the Nasera and the Jazeera.
Jazeera is globally. The Jazeera is globally. The Nasera is for us, the United States.
Right. It's going to usher in the Nasera for us and the Jazeera for the globe or for the rest of the world.
This woman Raimondo is talking to everybody, telling everybody how important it is for China, for the world, for China to have a good economy, even as ours goes in the tank, while the things she's talking about to bring China up are going to kill us.
Well, those countries don't manufacture and produce anything. If they're going to buy something from the U.S. that they need, say steam turbines or nuclear reactors, they got to pay in U.S. dollars.
Yeah. All right.
Does South Africa produce? South Africa don't produce anything. India don't produce hardly to satisfy their own people.
Well, I tell you what.
The idea, though, is that their economy, even though, as you point out, it's not really a world beater on the manufacturing stage, it is growing. It's not shrinking. And China, as we well know, is a major world supplier of commodities. So I think what they're looking to is the future, not what exists right now. And that's part of what they're discussing as they bring it all together. We're looking at the United States in the decline, certainly when it comes to manufacturing. Hell, who in the world could be
United States when it came to manufacturing things? Nobody could even dream of competing with the United States. What do we do now? Right now, our entire economy
is based on skiing, derivative credit swaps, and hedge funds, and jive like this. When we used to make steel and petroleum and manufactured goods and textiles and crops,
We don't do that anymore, not to the extent that we once did.
No.
That's why Russia's economy was not as affected by the sanctions as we thought they would be, because they manufacture things that people around the world want to buy.
Well, you know, another thing, China don't have any agriculture per se. They can't grow to feed their cattle and feed their people. They don't have that much arable land. That's why they're buying land up here in the United States to grow stuff to ship back to China and elsewhere in the world where they grow food.
Yeah, but here's the reason why they are so competitive when it comes to manufacturing. They are competitive when it comes to manufacturing for one main reason. They can employ slave labor in the hundreds of thousands and millions. That's
Amen.
What puts them over the top.
Amen.
You're right about that. The U.S. is setting minimum wages.
So how do we open up new factories?
Federal government is not supposed to be setting minimum nor maximum wages.
Now, I tell you what, I'm retiree from General Motors. Gene's husband works for General Motors, and I have two cousins that retired from General Motors down in Alabama. And I tell you, Mexico, when NAFTA came in, oh boy, did we lose a lot of production? And now China, you know, they get most of the, I think it's 51% of, if you wanted, like General Motors wanted to start their car manufacturing facility, they had to give over their everything. They had to give everything over and prove, you know, show them how to make a vehicle, they had to give so much to China in order for them to be able to manufacture a vehicle in China. You know what, bro? If they would get off their ass and stop buying that shit from China, that would put China in a world of hurt. But it'll never happen.
Well, what can we make over here? What can we make? Like, for instance, what's tying up our hands right now, for instance? What's stopping us from building?
The leaders that have been in office, and I'm not going to say that they were voted into office. It goes back decades. Decades.
We don't make our own damn medicine. China makes it.
No, it goes back decades.
Can I throw something out there regarding all this that is actually conducive to current events? Look at how the government is trying to push the big three into electric vehicles. Now, we have spoken about electric vehicles before and how they really are not possible. But look how the big three are really trying to pour all their resources into EVs, right? Scott and I were talking about this the other night. Who is going to come in and continue combustible vehicles? China.
What? Ford has stopped making electric vehicles right now.
But they're trying to get the big three by 2035 or something like that to do nothing but EV. So that's going to leave an open door for China to come in and continue to make the gas-powered vehicles and take the market, because you know, and as well as I do, that the American public is not going to go for electric vehicles in every driveway.
No.
They make no sense. Our power grid can't handle what we have. It can't handle air conditioners in the summer. How in the hell are they going to handle electric vehicles in every driveway? Plus, you know, recharging stations along the way, you know, for whatever.
Yeah.
It ain't happening. It is, in my opinion and Scott's opinion, that the government is trying to shut down the big three by having them push to do this.
Well, that's another anomaly. That's another strange, unbelievable, it can't be done. We're not ready for that.
look, these people are trying to repeal the laws of thermodynamics and electromagnetism. Look, Americans want to drive cars in the summertime with air conditioning running. You imagine, look at the minimal range you get on these EVs where you don't have any electro. When they give you those range figures, they're giving the range of the thing but not a damn thing other than what is needed to propel the vehicle down the road. They're not turning on the heater. They're not turning on the air conditioner. They're not turning on the windshield wipers. They're not turning on the air conditioner. Because when you start using all of those things, it severely diminishes the range of the electrical vehicle. I guarantee you every single time. When you talk about them for trailer trucks, because 10 tons of the 40-ton weight limit of a tractor-trailer configuration is going to be batteries. That means you have limited space for cargo. That means you have more money you got to spend for more trips and less cargo delivered. This is insane. But these people
and
are determined to push
it is insane.
They emit more carbon emissions than the gas-powered vehicles.
Because they're powered by fuel and natural gas. That's what powers them.
No, the battery, the EVs, they actually emit more carbon than the gas-powered.
No, they might do that, too. I don't know. But
they're powered by fuel and natural gas.
That's what makes the electricity.
But also think about disposal of electrical vehicles. The batteries are huge in these things, right? They have to be. And put those in our landfills compared to a car battery. Okay.
Remember,
you can't recycle the batteries, but pretty much everything else on a vehicle, you can recycle and do something else with, except for the battery, for the most part.
Every electrical vehicle is about 40% heavier, comparable internal combustion engine vehicle. Why? Because of the weight of the battery pack. This means more wear on tires, which means you're going to replace your tires more often, and that means that's going to add to the carbon footprint. That means more wear on the highway and the roads and the bridges and the infrastructure. And every single thing you can measure about EVs, they will cause more carbon emissions, more wear, more fuel consumption than do internal combustion engine vehicles in every respect.
Okay, well, that and they've been talking about the 15-minute cities. In Chattanooga, Tennessee, there is a apartment building, I've shared this before, I think, that basically it used to be a hotel, and your apartment is the size of a hotel room, and they have a community kitchen, community lounge, community laundry, community living rooms, community gaming area, community, okay?
Hey, hold on, guys. Hold on.
Done.
I know. I'm sorry, but hurry up with yours.
I'm in the middle of a thought.
I want Lori Ann to talk about her show tomorrow night and Robert on Tuesday night. So go ahead, Gene. Finish your thought.
Well, my thought is part of the reason that and I think also that they're trying to put in is EVs is for the 15-minute cities that they want to install. They're already trying to test them out. And in Chattanooga, they're trying to test it out as a 15-minute city there and by the start of this building. Okay?
Right.
So your EV, you can't go very far. I mean, come on. Between that and then wanting China to come in and take over the combustible, I don't know.
That's a good
what
point.
Are those things?
I never thought of that in that way. go ahead, Lori Ann.
Hey, everybody, before the live show ends, just wanted to chime in and invite everybody to tune in to my show tomorrow night, Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern. It is my two-year anniversary show, so I'm going to celebrate a little bit and hopefully get a bunch of people calling in and and celebrate 2 years since I started my show. So it should be pretty awesome.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
Okay, now, Robert, you go ahead, and in 9 minutes, our show might quit, just stop like it did last week. I don't know why, but it did it right at 2 hours. So if it cuts out, it's not me. But go ahead, Robert.
Is Robert on?
Yeah, he's on. Oh, I mean, Joseph. Good Lord, Robert.
Oh.
So go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I could be Robert.
Okay.
Anyway, Tuesday, 7 p.m., 7 p.m. East, Restoring Our Republic. Make sure everybody, that if you didn't get a copy of Lorianne's email with the election integrity rules and guidelines that we've implemented that we want to send out to all states and political leaders, please do it, and please be a part of what we're trying to do to change this corrupt election process. Tuesday, 7 p.m. East.
Amen.
Well,
yeah, both of them are great shows, I'll tell you that. Really good shows.
Yes.
Lorianne is really good. And Robert is, Robert, good Lord, Joseph's is really good.
Also. Yeah, Joseph's show is
pretty good,
Robert's
too.
Show is and Conservative is Nation a- Media on Friday yeah. night that I co-host.
Yes, thank you. I knew there was another show and I kept mixing them up. That's what happens when you're old.
That's all right.
We'll forgive you.
Oh, thank you very much.
But yeah, definitely check out that Google document that I worked on in collaboration with Joe Gibson on the voter integrity laws that we want to have people start contacting their board of electors, their state legislators. You know, if we all have a combined effort here and we all do our part, then hopefully it might get some attention.
Yes. All right. That, where do we find that, Lorianne?
I will link it into the chat room when I'm back at my computer.
All right.
I did email it out to several people, and I'll put it in our group chat in Facebook as well so that everybody can have a copy of it. Feel free to download it, save it, copy paste it. I'd rather have people, if you're going to email the representatives, copy paste it into the email instead of an attachment. As you know, they'll never open up attachments and actually read it. And you can, you know, feel free to modify it to be more applicable to your state if you like. Yeah, the press release or opening statement, please try to keep that as is because, you know, it makes a good point. It's a good introduction to, like, why we're doing this. And I think we broke it down pretty well. So, yeah, pretty hopefully it'll take off.
I'm going to be calling some of these people, actually, live on my podcast. I'm going to go a little bit earlier on Tuesday. I'm going to call some of these state election boards and tell them what we're doing. And give them a press release firsthand verbally.
Oh, that'd be great.
Oh,
that would be great.
Oh, by the way, before we go off, I'd like to give your audience a little tidbit for all those green weenies, those greenhouse fanatics, those environmental lunatics who keep trying to push us back to the 19th century. There was a report that was just issued by the journal Frontiers and Sustainable Cities. And they found that out of 25 cities that contribute more than half of global greenhouse emissions, according to this environmental outfit, all but three of the cities, the top 25, which are the three exceptions to this, are Moscow, Istanbul, and Tokyo. All of the others, the other 22, are located in China.
China. How about
China?
India?
they're on the list of the top 50, but they're not in the top 25. They're all in China.
Nah.
But even when you listen to the congressional hearings, when they talked about it, the them trying to reduce our carbon to zero, you do realize that will kill everybody.
Yes, of course.
That will kill everybody.
We're carbon-based life forms.
Every living is carbon. May I finish?
Our plants, our trees, our grass, they all take in the carbon and release oxygen. If they have no carbon, we have no oxygen, people.
That's
true.
Bring it, boy.
And then also, with the carbon emissions, we are, it's like not even point two or something like that. It's like that it's actually gone up.
Since they've been studying it, they're full of shit. Okay, we have Suzette here with us.
Yep, I'm with y'all, and I may have to take you on the road with me if you guys don't mind going to Walmart.
No, take us ahead, man, and then you can tell me.
You gotta go for some of the Chinese products, right?
You know it. They're the best. You know, there's all kinds of good things to put in your system, and you give us all that chromium and all that good stuff in our system.
Yeah,
we don't get gluten anymore.
I remember the dollar stores. They had a recall dog food and toothpaste and what else? There was a few other items that they had to get rid of because of China.
They were poisoned.
Been in there that weren't supposed to be there.
That's right.
Because back years ago, they had the recall, the nationwide recall on a lot of dog food from China that was sold like at PetSmart and Petco and, you know, your greeneries and everything because of stuff that was in it. And that's when we did a lot of research on dog food and chose the one we've been with since then. So,
right.
Yeah. But that was a nationwide recall, and not just for the dollar store, but
the toothpaste, I think, was just the dollar store.
I think so. Because now they carry Colgate and Crest, I think.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Bring It Boy, AMC, really? You know how American Motors has been out of business for
I think they got absorbed by Chrysler, did they? Somebody absorbed them.
Yeah,
they sure
did. I think I owned my first car after they were out of business from them. It was by them.
My grandfather had an
AMC.
And our governor in Michigan was the president. CEO of AMC, and that was Mr. George Romney, believe it or not. That was our governor in the 60s.
Speaking of our governor, there's more to this China battery factories here in Michigan.
Yes.
It's opening the door. China wants to take over our agricultural in Michigan.
Oh, yeah. I've been reading about in Michigan and where else? There was another, I can't remember the state now. They bought up a lot of land.
But here in Michigan, they want to take over our agricultural. I know that.
That's got to
And
stop.
Their step in the door is these battery factories that Widmer in Grand Rapids is allowing.
Oh. So that's how we got battery factories. I guess.
Yep.
Yeah, isn't that nice? Isn't that nice?
And she's special.
I tell you what, I can't believe our government is that stupid. I got to think this is all.
She's getting paid. Come on, she ain't stupid.
I agree, but I think our government is doing this on purpose for a reason. And we keep thinking administration sucks and they're doing terrible jobs, but I think they're doing it on purpose. I think there's I just can't believe anybody that's so stupid.
All of it's part of a plan. They want us to own nothing, rent everything, and be happy. That's the goal
that's right.
of all of it. We can
that's
see
right.
that all of this is going to lead to a diminished standard of life. They think we're living too high on the hog. They think we're taking advantage of the ecosystem in Gaia Mother Earth, and they don't have as much control over us as when they take away many of our essential liberties that we obtain through private property and the abundant use of fossil fuel energy. They have to take that all away from us so they can control us. I mean, it's
just
obvious.
But it's not just here in the U.S.
Well,
it's not just here in the U.S. They want to do this worldwide. They want to control everybody. And you have nothing, and be happy you have nothing.
That's right.
Yeah.
You said earlier, Gene, the 15-minute cities.
Yes.
And that's exactly Agenda 21. Now it's Agenda 2030, I believe. They moved it. But I'll tell you what, Hillary Clinton would have got into office, and she'd have been there for 8 years. And I'm telling you, you think it's bad now. Yeah, 8 years of Hillary pushing.
We would have been there.
Order. We would have been.
And Donnie, by the way, you guys do realize that the biggest single contributor to greenhouse gases is water vapor. Would you mind telling me what they intend to do about water vapor? We haven't lost a single drop of water that has ever been created on this planet unless it achieved escape velocity by being launched into outer space aboard a rocket or a missile. Every single drop of water that's ever been created is still here in the atmosphere somewhere. What are they going to do about that?
You're right.
Well, and they're upset about cow farts. They're upset about cow farts, too, you know.
Don't take our steaks away.
They're crazy. They're crazy. They ignore science. And then they tell us that we're the ones that don't believe in science.
You got these young
kids. I'm telling you, too.
And all this crap. And that's what I'm afraid of. Us old-timers, you know, we're going to disappear. And these young people that are learning nothing in school are going to take over. And
let alone in school from their parents. From their parents. They don't, you know, their parents should be educating them on this. Not just to hell with the schools.
Oh, the schools are terrible.
Their parents were raised on Captain Planet, for God's sake. What do you expect?
Captain Planet.
Be a Captain Caveman.
Can I say something?
No. Go ahead.
Now
Kat.
I can't.
No, go ahead. You sent your
I want to talk about the Three Gorges Dams. What does everybody know about that?
No, what?
Say it again, please.
Donnie, you and I talked about it the other day. The Three Gorges Dams in China is the biggest dam in the world. It's called Three Gorges Dams. I think it's got three rivers running into it. Now, I just want to know what y'all think, because I saw a video the other day. They're going to blow it up, but they've already cleared out 80% of the people, because it's going to be flooded. All that area is going to be flooded when they let that water go. The reservoir that holds back the water is at the Three Gorges Dam. It is the size of Singapore. Now, this is what the video said. You know, we can't stop the natural flow of water. We do, though, but we shouldn't do it. Now, this video said that this Three Gorges Dams and that reservoir, all these dams, they slow the rotation of the earth down because they're holding back the rivers. Now, you guys, you know, I watched it. It made sense to me. But we're supposed to be in like 3D now, you know. We need to go higher to get our brains back to where we quit believing everything that we hear and following, you know, propaganda and stuff, believing it. But does that make sense to y'all that these dams, but that's the biggest one in the world, and that reservoir is the size of Singapore, and they say that when they let the water go, it's been holding back the rotation of the earth some. Does that make the flow of water, the oceans, the rivers, all over the world, helps the rotation of the earth. And when you block that and put up these dams, it's going to slow the rotation down. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah, I've heard of that as a theory. I've heard of that before. So what she's saying is definitely hypothesis. I'm not sure that's accepted as a scientific fact yet, but it's certainly
right.
People looking at.
Well, it is true, but they're not going to destroy the dam. The effect that it caused by collecting that water in that location is called inertia moment.
Yeah.
And it did slow down the rotation of the earth, thereby exposing you to the sun in certain longer, just like a rotisserie would. When you slow the rotisserie down, the meat burns.
Yeah.
That the sun is going to burn out anyway.
But I believe what they claim, according to this theory now, is that the shift at the North Pole, which is where, you know, the longitudinal axis of the Earth's rotation runs through, is something like a few centimeters a year, maybe 1.5, 2, or 3. So, I mean, you have to compute that.
The Tropic of Cancer is inching northward. You know, a little bit every year.
Yeah. I mean, so the question is that significant enough to affect the actual rotation of your, with regard to actual geological conditions over the next, I don't know, 100 million or 200 million years? That's the question.
No, it's going to affect it right now. Every time you put up a real tall barrier, it's just like a skater. When a skater is spinning around in a circle and she holds her arms out, well, she's slow.
Yeah.
But when she brings the arms in, it speeds up. So every time you stick a tall multi-story building and skyscraper in the air, it causes the same effects.
Hmm. Yeah, well, okay, I think something to keep an eye on, but I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's something that we really need to be stressing about right now. Yeah, they should continue to study it, but I think what a lot of these environmental lunatics want to use it for is to stop all human development, human growth, and particularly the use of fossil fuels. And again, they want us to use renewables and energy, the best source to obtain electrical power environmentally is hydroelectric power. I mean, it's free energy. You got rushing water, and often that comes by using dams. And you could generate electricity simply by the water rushing forward. It drives turbines. And these people, in every respect, they want to take away our ability to use nature for our own benefit. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there is a zero-sum gain in anything human beings want to do. I mean, I guess there's going to have to be something given on one end of the equation while you obtain something at the other end.
Yeah.
Well, hydro is the most efficient.
It is. It's free energy. Running
hydro
water.
Hydro is 85 to 90% efficient.
Exactly.
It's not free. We have to pay for it.
Well, yeah, I mean, having the source in which to generate the electricity. I mean,
it's not free.
The turbines are there, whether you put the hydroelectric dam there or not, the water's always going to be flowing. Whether the dam or whether the turbines exist or not, the water always flows. You're simply taking advantage of a natural phenomenon in many cases. In other cases, it's artificially induced by the use of a dam. But in any event, it's water that's always going to be moving because everything's trying to get back to the ocean.
Coal is 42. Wind is 45% efficient.
Huh.
Yeah, but water, man, you can't beat it for a source of electrical energy.
Water is 85%.
T. Boone Pickens said that the new gold is going to be water.
But see, if the sun is slowing down, well, the oceans are going to evaporate. And when the oceans evaporate, it's going to relieve the pressure
of the volcanic action at the bottom of the ocean, on the ocean floor, there's going to be more activity, more sulfur going up in the air, probably eruptions. It's going to throw ash in the sky. It's going to blot out the sun for several days, maybe a week. Then you won't be able to charge your batteries.
Remember, though, water vapor never vanishes because water vapor cannot escape the gravitational pull of Earth. It goes back into the atmosphere, and it gets redistributed somewhere depending on convections and wind current. So we never get rid of the water. It never goes away. We can't get rid of water.
Okay.
It turns into water vapor. Even when it blows up in an atomic blast, you still get the water vapor going back up in the atmosphere.
Bianchi, the ocean's drying up, really. California was supposed to be underwater by now, according to my geography classes when I was in school. You know, and so I don't understand how they could evaporate, you know. And Florida was supposed to be underwater too, if I remember right. But I know California for sure was supposed to be totally gone because of, you know, all the changes
the planet moves around. You know, Manhattan and New York was connected to Scotland at one time.
Water evaporates, true, but water vapor never goes away. It just gets redistributed. That's why we have droughts. The water doesn't come down in certain areas because of where the water vapor goes, but it never goes away. We always have every drop of water that has ever been created from the beginning of the creation of water is still with us, except what went on missiles shot out of the atmosphere with the astronauts and got peed into outer space. Every other drop is still here on the planet. You can't get rid of water. You can't vaporize it so it doesn't exist anymore.
If a big enough asteroid do a near miss to the Earth, an asteroid has gravitational pull. It can suck off some of the atmosphere.
Well, that might be true. That might be true. But I'm saying as things exist right now, water vapor cannot reach escape velocity to get out of the atmosphere. It's always going to be with us, no matter what.
So we won't have to worry about the election fraud one of these days.
Yeah, I hope that's a few billion years from now. I don't think we'll be around for that. Maybe these immortal vampires that are Democrats might be around, though. They got to be vampires.
The thing that people don't realize, they say it's going to take another billion years, but you're a lot closer to it today than what you were 3 years ago.
Yeah,
and the temperatures are increasing because of the radius or the radius of the sun is increasing as it burns up its fuel. I mean, this happens. Stars die.
That's true. But they don't want to accept that. See, many of these enviro lunatics think they're gods. They think they can alter the weather. They literally think they're gods. They don't want to accept the natural ebb and flow of nature and the universe. They don't want to accept it. They think they're gods. They think they can change them. You got this crazy guy, Bill Gates, talking about he's going to blot out the sun, change the atmosphere.
Well,
he actually said that.
Why do you think we have chemtrails, people? Why? They're trying to change the flow of nature and kill us.
Absolutely. I mean, the whole climate thing is a sham. Like, one of the biggest lies is them convincing people that when carbon dioxide increases, that's what causes global warming. But the reality is actually, it's not the rise in carbon dioxide that precedes global warming. It's the opposite. When global warming happens, then carbon dioxide levels increase. It's after the fact, not before the fact. So that's the big lie right there. That, and, you know, whenever they're in the past, you know, when they – there's scientists that have gone to, you know, Antarctica and the Arctic and dug down with, you know, super deep ice cores as deep as they could go. And based on those ice cores, they could tell the approximate levels of CO2 levels and things. And guess what? Any time in our Earth's history that we know of, that we've been able to go back to, whenever carbon dioxide levels have increased as the result of global warming, that is when the most life on Earth developed, the most trees, the most vegetation,
yep,
the most sea life, sea plants, because the ocean is the biggest producer of carbon dioxide there is.
And water vapor.
The ocean produces way more than we will ever be able to even conceptualize get rid of. Why? Because there's constantly under the water volcanoes going off all the time, releasing all kinds of carbon dioxide into the oceans, which then, of course, is what all the plant life in the ocean consumes to create oxygen and all that kind of stuff. So it's absolutely asinine that these people think that they can reduce carbon dioxide and think that that is not going to contribute to the annihilation of life on Earth, not just humans, but life itself.
I agree.
That's going to kill human life on Earth is the elevation of temperature. Humans can't survive in 108 degrees very long. The older people are going to die off first. But the temperature get up to about 110, I think we can just kiss it goodbye because they're not going to survive.
Oh, you know what, Bob Bianchi? On that note, if you look at photos of cities in the 70s, there was all sorts of trees around, which helped cool where the humans are because of the shade. And now all those trees are gone, which in turn is creating a, air finger quotes, higher temperature. So actually the temperature was never really higher. It's just they've removed the ability of shade to filter the heat. Also, when I said that California was supposed to be in the ocean by now, does anybody else remember that in the 70s that we are supposed to be covered by ice by now too?
I do very well. I remember all the panic over that. I remember very well.
So, you know, which is it, people? Do we have global warming, global freezing, global warming, global freezing? I mean, come on.
Well, I changed it to
it's
climate.
It's the natural occurrence from our Earth. That's it. It's natural. God created it. It's the way it goes. It's going to happen. It's a natural cycle.
Well, you're speaking to the choir, I believe.
Yeah, just,
well, I know.
Just remember, a few hundred years ago, they were growing grapes and had vineyards in Greenland. This before the industrial age, it was even thought of. They were growing grapes and wine in Greenland. A few hundred years ago.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Gore said Manhattan would be underwater by now. And that most of California.
Well, that's the hottest ice age I've ever experienced. How about anybody else?
They're wrong about everything, and they never apologize to me. Never, 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 never. Every single one of their dire predictions has been wrong. Every single one. And they never apologize for one of them.
Well, they don't admit it, and people still believe it. That's the thing. These idiots still believe it. People that are my age, your age, it's like, I remember the old classic, you know, that we would do in class. You know, there was about current events and whatever, and about how we're going to be frozen over by the year 2020. Okay. Or how California is supposed to be gone by 2020.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm old enough to remember it, and I'm still, you know, semi-senile got it with me. Anyways, so how these people don't remember that stuff and believe the bullshit that, like, Gore puts out.
Oh, man. Gore.
I don't understand it.
And they never issue an apology or an explanation for why they're wrong. Never. They just go on to the next big
hair on fire prediction.
That's right.
But they don't tell. They don't even tell you they're wrong. They just change their. They change it slightly.
No.
You know, and
they're not going to tell.
They never say they're wrong.
Say they're wrong, like Sarge just said. They just change it. They just change the narrative. Go ahead, bring it, boy. I think that was you. Maybe it was.
But they can't apologize for something that they can't. They don't admit they're wrong.
Yeah, you got me on that one. Yeah, you know, with the climate change, they're just, it's just a sham. And, you
yep.
know, there's only, we can't do nothing about it. They've been doing it for so long now that I guess we could say we just depend on it.
Yep.
No, I agree.
I mean, if they would plant more trees around in cities, again, if they were in neighborhoods, in, you know, they would find that the temperature will reduce. But not because the actual temperature is reduced. Where you got freeze,
when you have shade over areas of hot tar pavement, you know, when there's no shade, the pavement gets hotter and therefore it increases. When there is shade from trees, then the pavement doesn't get as hot and it stays cooler. It's like, duh, you know.
Is that only that?
Just chopping all the trees down.
You have better air movement. You have better airflow and better air movement as well.
Hey.
Yeah, the concrete and blacktop give up that heat at night. Don't have no cool breezes in the city.
Would you guys indulge me for a minute and let me give you some of the most spectacular predictions these people have predicted since Earth Day back in 90. Remember Earth Day? You know, if you don't weren't alive then, have you read about Earth Day back in 1970? That was when the green holy religious movement really got in high gear. And this
but
is
still,
the
they still do Earth Day. They still do Earth Day.
Right. And these are the predictions that they made since 1970 that were supposedly well regarded by many of the smarty pants in the scientific community and the mainstream press.
Uh-huh.
There was a guy, there was a biologist named George Wall. He said civilization will end in 15 to 30 years by 1985 unless immediate action is taken against problems facing mankind. The population, with Paul Ehrlich, who made more wrong predictions than anybody I could think of, said the population will inevitably and completely outstrip whatever small increases in food supplies we make. The death rate will increase until at least 100 to 200 million people per year will starve to death during the next 10 years by 1980. Then he went on to say that most of the people who are going to die in the greatest cataclysm in the history of man have already been born, that there are going to be food shortages, that people are going to be starving like nothing we've ever seen, even in biblical history. He went on to say it's too late. Another guy said it's too late to avoid mass starvation. The guy who was the chief organizer for Earth Day in 1970. Another guy named Peter Gunter in 1970 said demographers will unanimously agree that by 1975, widespread famines will begin in India. They'll spread by 1990 to include all of India, Pakistan, China, and Near East Africa. By the year 2000 or sooner, South and Central America will exist under famine conditions. By 2000, 30 years from now, the entire world, with the exception of Western Europe, North America, and Australia, will be in famine. They're prediction after prediction after prediction after prediction after prediction. I'm looking at about 15 of them. They're all wrong. All of them, and by major figures in the environmental movement.
That's something. That is something. Wow. Yeah, every one of them.
Yeah, the Epic Times did a piece, they actually, a video, I've had it saved for a while in my audio clips, 32 climate predictions that never came true. That was pretty well done if you haven't looked it up.
There's a million of them.
Yeah.
But Laurie,
you know,
a million of them.
Just 32 that never came true.
And they never stop. They never stop. They just go on to the next big thing, and they just get applaud like trained seals. The mainstream press just applauds it and says, we have to just run around in circles, scream and shout. It's maddening.
Yes.
Hey, Laurie,
well, there's really nothing man can do about this stuff. It's going to happen. As the temperature rises, if human beings do survive, they're going to change physiologically. They might have a bigger head or something like that. I don't know. These women nowadays got asses. That's humongous.
But Bianchi, the temperature really is not changing. That's the thing. It's not the temperature changing. It's man removing things to shield themselves from the heat.
Well, Earth's rotation is slowing down. It has the temperature has increased because it's being exposed to the sun more. And as the sun burns up its helium, hydrogen and helium,
and why is it being exposed more?
Huh?
Why is it being exposed more?
Because it's slowing down. It's just like a rotation.
No. I would disagree with that. It's being exposed, air finger quotes, because we have taken down a lot of the trees and natural things to shield the earth itself.
Well, that's true in the big cities, but according to every geological survey of the United States I've ever read, there are more forested areas in North America today than was at the time of the Revolution. It's true in the cities, though.
Yeah, that's not where they're talking about where it's hot or tearing it up. It's in the cities. It's where the populations are.
Yeah, they are taking them down in the cities. But there's more forested areas in North America now than was at the time of the American Revolution.
But that may be true, but where they're doing their studies isn't in those forests.
We could agree they should put more trees back up in the big cities. They should be planting shaded lanes and trees with more, but they've been taking them down.
Medians, like in your space.
The environment. You remember when Google came out and they did, 2000? What was that program? They came out with Windows 2000.
Bombarded with phone calls
because people were having a hard time updating their systems. You know what the number one question was asked? Where's the any key?
Why was it?
Where's the any key? Where's the any key? People would call up Google when we had to switch our computers. Microsoft. They came out with the 2000. One of the number one questions was.
Right. When actually was it? Was it 2001 or 2000?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, we were going to Y2K. Talk about Y2K.
There we go. Perfect. Right. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
That's it.
Yeah, Y2K.
And Y2K,
world's going to end in Y2K.
Scared that, that they were going to lose all their money in the bank. They were going to lose. They were going to have no power, no food, no da 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 da.
Yeah.
And it rolled over, and everything was just fine.
None changed.
I remember that clearly because, you know, we can and stuff, and you know, preserve food. And my husband was like, "You're going to have to can more." Because we don't know how long that's going to last. And I looked at him and I said, "We're going to be fine." And he's like, "Well, we got to stock up on water. And we need to go get some more canned goods from the store. And we got to get, you know, non-perishable." And I looked at him and I'm like, I ain't doing it. I ain't got no place to store it. I ain't worrying about it. And everything rolled over. Everything was just perfectly fine.
That was COVID before there was COVID.
That's it. That's right.
Well, there's going to be another COVID. Oh, something I did want to bring up. How convenient of when Trump's trial is. March 4th.
Yeah. Isn't that something? March 4th and the 5th is Super Tuesday.
Oh, man.
Isn't that a beautiful...
Oh, that's right, Donnie. That's what Pyongyi wanted me to tell you about. He said, remember Pyongyi told me I was supposed to tell Donnie about something that maybe he didn't know about yet? Yeah, we need to tell you about what Fannie Willis has in her possession that is almost a complete exoneration of the people that she charged with being false electors.
Oh.
Have you heard about it?
No.
Well, now remember, the state of Georgia selected electors for president, as they always do in every presidential election.
Right.
16 of them were Republicans. They were duly selected electors for the state of Georgia for the presidential election. And after the results in November 2020, a group of them who called themselves, this is what they termed themselves, as they have a right to do, they called themselves the Electoral College of Georgia regarding Georgia's electoral votes. And they wrote a transcript of their meeting, which was held on December 14th, 2020. Because this is significant, the date, because this is long before any of these bogus charges by Bonnie Willis.
Right.
And they held it at the Georgia State Capitol in Atlanta, Georgia, in room 216. And the chairman for this meeting was a gentleman named David Schaefer. And this is, I'm looking at the transcript right now, which Fannie Willis has in her possession. And I'm looking at the first sentence in the transcript. Now listen to this. Chairman Schaefer, remember, he was charged, he's one of the leading people charged representing self-defense electors. My name is David Schaefer. I'm the chairman of the Georgia Republican Party. In the hour of noon having arrived, it's my privilege to call to order this meeting of the Republican nominees for the Electoral College from the state of Georgia. The president has filed a contest to the certified returns. That contest is pending. It's not been decided or even heard by any judge with the authority to hear it. And so in order to preserve his rights, it's important that the Republican nominees for presidential elector meet here today and cast their votes. From my observation, 13 of the 16 nominees are present. Remember, these people were certified as duly selected electors from the state of Georgia by the legislature of the state of Georgia. Now listen to the next part of this. We go on to sentence 16 from the transcript. Ray Smith is a lawyer for President Trump. Do you wish to make any comments at this time? Mr. Smith, yes. We're conducting this as Chairman Schaefer said, we're conducting this because the contest of the election in Georgia is ongoing. And so we continue the election of the electors in Georgia. And so we're going to conduct this in accordance with the Constitution of the United States, and we're going to conduct the electorate today similar to what happened in 1960 in Hawaii. Chairman Schaefer. And if we did not hold this meeting, then our election contest would effectively be abandoned. Is that correct, Mr. Schaefer? That's correct. And so the only way for us to have any judge consider the merits of our complaint, the thousands of people who we allege voted unlawfully, is for us to have this meeting and permit the contest to continue. Is that not correct, Mr. Smith? That's correct, Mr. Chairman. And it goes on and on to say this with other things that are administrative duty, but it is clear they are preparing to, they are not representing themselves as a duly certified slate of electors that was selected by the state of Georgia to send to Congress so first for certification by Congress. They are in no way representing themselves to be that. They are preparing themselves to act as an alternate slate of electors in the event that Donald Trump's court challenges would have prevailed. And Bonnie Willis knows this. These people are demonic. These people are Soviet. They don't know what to describe them except they're Soviet. They do this kind of thing in the Soviet Union. They do this kind of thing in the Third Reich. They do things that literally banana republics all around the world. This is Soviet stuff.
I wouldn't say Soviet. I would say Nazi.
Same thing. Kissing cousins. They're kissing cousins. I mean, it's German stuff.
It's amazing what more keeps coming out and keeps coming out and keeps coming out. Right, Kathy? We're like, we heard a lot of this stuff, not this.
I'm here. I'm listening.
I'm elated about this, but how much stuff that we were talking about 3 years ago, or 2 years, 2.5 years ago, You and I were talking about stuff, and we were we were laughed at. We were like, yeah, okay, whatever. And it's and now we're talking about it, and it's fact, and it's showing up. It's
hey,
like,
my brother will watch something on the news, and he'll get all mad. You know, some of this craziness that you're seeing on the mainstream media, you know, what we're and he'll get mad at me. Don't you care what's wrong with you? Because I laugh at it. Because it is nothing but bullshit is all it is. You know,
exactly.
We talk about stuff and, I mean, do we know for sure, I mean, beyond any reasonable doubt that China has bought up all this land? Do we know that for a fact? Do we? But we get mad when we hear about it. You know, CCP probably did, but
well, it ain't,
like I said
it ain't
on
China.
The show once before, only
it's 10%.
Only 10% of China was actually communist, controlled by the CCP. The other provinces in China is controlled by the Dragon families, the Li families, the elders, you know. I mean, we can't
it's
say.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I and I agree with you. My husband will turn on the local news, and I can't stand. I said, to me, that just sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. I said, all it is nothing but propaganda, brainwashing, and then when they do actually report something true, I'm shocked. But there is,
see, we don't
CNN
really
even,
know what is
but she,
true anymore. You know, I question everything. I question
right.
everything I hear on the news, everything. And I laugh at it.
Good.
You know?
To me, it's just like nails on a chalkboard. I don't even want to hear them. I don't even want to hear them. It's nothing but a brainwashing propaganda, in my opinion.
Well, it's good to know what they are talking about, what they are showing as the news. It's
I know,
good.
And that's why I do listen to some of it. But
But
we need to know how to counter their lies. We need to know how to counter them. We got to hear what they have to say.
Educate yourselves.
Yeah.
Educate yourselves. That's how you counter it. You educate yourself.
Like I tell
and you
Donnie.
Look and you dig deep and you research.
Yeah. I tell Donnie a lot of stuff that I see on the internet. It's up to me to decide, is that reasonable or is that believable? A lot of it is not. A lot of it is propaganda, like what you're hearing on TV, you know.
But then one of your ill-informed friends will come up to you and say, but I heard on MSNBC just yesterday, they had this constitutional lawyer up there, and they said, but Donald Trump is not eligible to run for president because he engaged in insurrection. I just heard him say it on CNN.
That's right. That is right.
And it's a lie.
And it's all a lie. We got to be prepared to counter for those people who are not well-informed, what they hear. Because most of what they hear is similar to that.
You're right,
okay, like using the scenario of which you just used about the insurrection. To me, it wasn't even an insurrection. You know, I'm
riot.
Like, them calling it that just pisses me off. Well, even it wasn't even a riot. It was an infiltration, in my opinion, of the far-left, liberal, whatever cabal. Okay, but when they talk about the lawsuits, you know, the charges in Georgia right now, it's like, stop and think. He was already by several federal judges that these charges were dismissed. It's like double jeopardy, except more than double. It's like quadruple or whatever. You know, it's like they're trying to retry him for the same thing that he's already been dismissed, and I mean, people think.
No,
show them. Tell them.
Gene, it has to be like this. It has to play out like this. So,
well, I know that. You know that. But what I'm saying is,
American citizens will see that we've had rigged elections for a long time.
But what I'm saying is, this is the way to help people wake up. to see those things is by us being educated and researching and, you know, having the evidence for us or the information for us. Is, you know, when somebody comes, well, I saw it on CNN and MSNBC and blah, blah, blah. Okay, but let's use your common sense brain. Let's use your, you know, thinking capability. This happened.
It was supposed to be live streamed, this trial with Trump.
Yeah.
But what I'm getting at, though, is like,
court, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's already been acquitted, you know, through several other judges and courts for these exact same things.
This,
you know,
is
so
their
you can't be tried. You cannot be tried twice for the same crime.
Yeah.
Well,
and they are doing it over and over and over again.
Well, actually, what's even more startling is that no prosecutor has ever brought formal criminal charges against Donald Trump for anything related to January 6th. Until Jack Smith did it, and now Fannie Willis. No one has introduced any criminal charges against Jack Smith or anybody even associated with him other than people who are convicted for criminal activities relating to their movements on January 6th. Nobody thought of even bringing any charges against Donald Trump until Jack Smith did.
To look at Trump and Giuliani, especially their mugshots, air finger quotes, mugshots, and compare them to the other mugshots, and see what you don't see. See what's not there. There is no shadow. There is no shadow from the light on Giuliani nor Trump, but there's a definite shadow from the light coming down on the others. Why?
That's because Trump didn't get a mugshot at that jail that day. They already had
neither
this
did Giuliani.
He had it. They already had these pictures. That's what they put out
to
the mainstream media.
They photoshopped them.
They
photoshopped them.
They did.
From somewhere.
They did. They did
I don't know why they would photoshop a picture like that, because that is a... Man, that is one of the biggest contributions the Democrats have ever made to Donald Trump's campaign. That mugshot is epic. He's making pay for that mugshot.
Democrats
Is it not possible that Trump supplied them with the photo without it being a mugshot?
I think they thought they were going to humiliate him by getting him a bad picture. Somehow or other, I don't know how it happened. The objective was to humiliate Donald Trump. They didn't intend anything good to come out of this booking of Donald Trump. Somehow it's just backfired because they are that stupid and incompetent. I really believe they are. They are that careless, stupid, and incompetent.
They have not learned from the past. Every indictment that they have handed down, every time they have tried to impeach him, his popularity went up. Every single time.
Well, I tell you, that mugshot, man, I'm so glad that however that mugshot got into the public consciousness, I am grateful that it did. Because I cannot imagine a more epic mugshot.
They said it was a mugshot heard around the world.
But you still need to step back and look at it and ask yourself, why does it not look like a real photo, you know, with the light and everything coming in. Just that one thing. There's got
to be a
reason.
They certainly could not have meant it to benefit Donald Trump, that's for sure. And it has. It has benefited him.
Oh, I know that. I'm not saying that. But there's a deeper meaning somehow, some way through that.
I think it was done with Donald Trump's blessing. I do. I believe.
Are you saying that the authorities in Fulton County wanted to give Donald Trump a boost as a result of this?
What I'm saying is that Donald Trump didn't get a mugshot at that jail when he went in there. This was already done, like Gene said. It was already a done deal, and it's what they put out there, you know, to the mainstream media. And it was
the other thing. When Donald Trump was escorted to the jail, How many cops were there? How many cars were there?
Oh,
that was bigger than any other presidential
about
175.
But
I've ever seen. Biden doesn't even have that many.
Everywhere Trump goes, he has got 2-3 times more Secret Service than Biden does.
Yep.
Everywhere Trump goes.
Especially for this thing.
Well, everywhere
but
he's
been. But that's another reason to believe that he is still Commander-in-Chief.
That's right, Gene. They are in control. They are. Not this fake government that we've got in D.C. I've heard a lot of them.
You can look at it may be that way, but it may be a bigger scheme going on that Trump may be part of.
Well,
it is.
He's got to expose. They're exposing the cabal. They're exposing the shit. And you have to, and the people have
whatever you want
to
call.
Exactly. The people have to experience the bullshit to believe it.
And there has to be civilian casualties.
Sadly.
Yeah.
Because if you know, if you just, it's like, Don, how long have you been doing this show? You've been doing this, what, almost 20
years?
Years?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And how long have you been talking about the deep state and Agenda 21 and the things that have come about, the chemtrails, et cetera, et cetera? You've been talking about that stuff for a long time. The federal banks. Ever since I've known you, you have been talking about this, okay?
Right.
But people weren't experiencing the effects of this, correct?
That's right. That's right.
Now people are experiencing the effects of this. They are feeling it. They are seeing it. Their eyes are being opened. So like Kathy said, it had to be this way so that people can see it, even though you and I have been seeing it for a very long time. Not everybody
seems like me and Donnie been doing this Donald Trump stuff since the second year out of high school.
Well, yeah, I'm going to tell you this. I want any of you to tell me where in the criminal history of the United States, all of it, from 1776 to now, I want you to tell me where any individual criminal in the United States ever in any jurisdiction has had 91 separate counts of criminal activity against them in 4 separate criminal proceedings at the same time. Would you please name to me one human being in the history of the United States where this is so? A mafia don, a spy, anything. Anything
nope.
like
good
that.
Luck. Can't do it.
That's right. And that tells you there's been nothing like this in the history of the United States ever before.
And like Trump has said, if they will do it to him, they will do it to you. And they're not coming after him. They're coming after us.
Yeah, I believe that.
And that's exactly right.
Yeah, he said, they're after you. I'm just in the way. And he was right.
Exactly. 15-minute cities, electric vehicles. No gas stoves, no gas furnaces.
Join conventional states like me, Donnie, Joe, and Sarge. We are all COS members.
That's right.
Something's got to be done because this is insane. We're heading on. Well, I mean, these people are crossing the Rubicon every damn day. And that's more than
you
ever thought about doing.
Every day.
Forward that to Joe, would you? That email I just
sent you. That trial will not take place in March. I'm almost positive.
Oh, no. Logistically, it just can't. There's too many motions that the judges have to
I'm not talking logistically. I'm talking things that are coming about, things that are being exposed. And if it does come about, because right now will be the discovery phase, right? And how do you enter evidence legally?
It's just not going to happen anyway, Gene, in March. Just not.
I'm just saying.
There's too many emotions to be
concerned. Right.
He has been trying to enter that evidence regarding the election and the cheating I mean, even here in Michigan, in the Muskegon area, not even Detroit, Muskegon. Okay, Muskegon. There's evidence of false ballots and mail-in ballots.
Illegal registrations.
Registrations and ballots.
Yeah.
And he has been saying that this has been going on, right? So right now we're in discovery for his trial. He can enter for him saying that the election was rigged, okay?
So he's
going to be able to put all that evidence out there because he has been declined a trial or a court hearing regarding it by every other court.
Well,
he's going to be able to put it out there in the public and show it.
Well, remember,
if the judge lets him.
Well, here's the advantage they handed to Donald Trump. They accused specifically in the case of Jack Smith and in the case of Bonnie Willis, they specifically accused the man of falsely believing that election fraud was real and affected the outcome of the election. So Donald Trump doesn't even have to prove that the election was fraudulent, although I'm convinced he's going to be able to do that. All he's got to show is that he really believed that it was, because they are saying he didn't believe it. That is core to their accusations. So he's got an absolute right to defend himself against that very specific charge in the indictment.
I agree.
Well, also, his freedom of speech is at stake, too, which means all of our freedom of speech is at stake.
To rely on advice of counsel at stake. He was relying on advice of judicial constitutionalists who have litigated constitutional matters before courts before. And he was relying on their counsel. He was also relying on the history of the United States where similar things occurred and nobody got indicted. Please. What you talking about, Willis?
What I'm saying is he was relying on the Constitution to support him.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Man, I never seen nothing like this, man. I never thought I'd see. This is East German shit. I swear to God.
But,
I never thought I'd see it back in the United States.
I was speaking. The Presidential Records Act. He had every right to have all those records that he had. But Biden has had them for over 40 years in various locations, Chinatown, his garage. And he never, ever was protected by the Presidential Records Act.
Yeah,
okay? So I'm just saying, he never had those protections like Trump did.
No.
But Trump's the one that they're going after for it. But Biden turned him over, willingly is the big argument, right? Well, what the hell is he doing with him for 40 years?
Exactly.
40
That's
years.
Just a deflection. Well, he did it willingly. He didn't fight against it or anything. It's like, well,
but he had him
that's
for
because
40
it took
years.
40 years well, for anybody to ask for him, you know?
But wait a minute. If there's never an argument to be had, then what the fuck is the purpose of the Presidential Records Act then? It allows an avenue of negotiation. Donald Trump was in negotiations with the archivist at the National Archives under the auspices of the Presidential Records Act. That's when the raid occurred. The raid occurred in the middle of the negotiation.
They were.
Bring up something else in that interview with Tucker that he's brought up before, and it just hit me different, was when he had said to Pence to send it back to the legislatures, that he had the constitutional right to do so, because how many representatives got up with Senator back?
147. Yeah, 147 members of the Senate and the House of Representatives before January 6th expressed their explicit stated intention to object to the Electoral Count under the auspices of the Electoral Count Act of 1877.
And that's why I believe that the Democrats engineered that riot, because it gave them an opportunity when they reconvened to invoke emergency procedures that would set aside parliamentary objections to electoral count, and they were only allowed to vote on certification of the election up or down. I believe they engineered the riot to do exactly that.
They did.
I believe so, too. I have.
After he had asked them to do that, what did the Congress do? They went in and changed the verbiage and voted on it so the vice president could never do that again or have the ability to do it.
Yeah, they amended the act in December of 2021 because it wasn't clear according to them, and they had to clarify it. So if it wasn't clear, why couldn't Donald Trump make this argument constitutionally if it wasn't clear?
Correct.
That had to be clarified by an amendment to the law. This is going to fall apart at some level in the judicial proceedings. This is going to completely unravel. I know that these bastards will probably get a conviction at the first shot at it. And Donald Trump's going to have to appeal it probably all the way to the Supreme Court. At some point, this is going to unravel. It cannot stand up to scrutiny. But they hope it will derail Donald Trump's campaign. And that's all they really need to have. They don't really need to have him behind bars because they know that's unlikely too. But they can put him on blast, and they can short shot his campaign, and they'll be happy with that.
That's right. He said it many times. If he wasn't running for president, this would never be happening. And he's
never.
But here's the deal: this is free campaign money for him. You know, in a way, it's free advertisement. Free. It's not costing his campaign for the campaign for him, so to speak.
But think about it for a minute now. Donald Trump offered explicitly in writing. Cash Patel testified this under oath. The Capitol Police Chief testified this under oath. And in interviews all over TV, Stephen Sund, they said Donald Trump offered to the authorities on Capitol Hill and in Washington, D.C., Muriel Bowser's mayoral office, the offer of 10,000 federal and National Guard troops that would have prevented the very riot that led to what happened. Now, how is Donald Trump supposed to know that they were going to turn down his offer to prevent the insurrection that he supposedly fomented? How are they going to know he was going to do it? The answer is that he thought they would accept it because they wanted the riot to short-circuit the objection to the election and the electoral count.
I'm going to take that one step further. How did he know they were going to send in Antifa, the FBI, and all of them to incite the violence prior to January 6th to be able to make that offer? I don't know if he did know.
I think that was instigated at the behest of Democrats or their allies to create conditions that would allow them to suspend parliamentary objections.
I believe he knew that they were going to do that. Come on, he was the commander-in-chief. He knew what was going on.
He was still the president of the United States. He was still getting security briefings every day.
He had his own little spies, I'm sure.
One at a time.
Feeding him information. He knew.
The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is a gentleman named Mark Milley, a four-star general who is under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, has to answer strictly to the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. This bastard went behind Donald Trump's back and called his Chinese counterpart in China to tell him, don't worry about nothing there, Mr. General in China. I'm going to keep tabs on this guy to make sure he doesn't do anything to upset the apple cart. I'm telling you, the deep state was going around Donald Trump at every opportunity to subvert his agenda and his lawful command as chief executive of all of the executive branches of the United States government at every opportunity they could take.
Well,
right.
But he knew it. That's the thing, is he knew it. He knew it. It wasn't anything that he was unaware of at all. Nothing.
I don't think
all
he was
stuff.
Aware of
I do.
Them sticking FBI agents and federal agents into the crowd.
I do.
Well, I don't think he knew that, no. I don't think he realized how dirty our government was until he
exactly.
got deep
oh,
into
it. Oh, I think he did. Oh, yes, he did.
Well, he knew how dirty the government was. He didn't know they were going to do that particular tactic that day. They kept that a secret
also,
from him.
You
like,
got
no, he gave the orders to open those doors.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, you're
I don't know
fine.
Who gave the orders to open those doors that are magnetically.
They did. Well, he looked.
Okay,
remember?
Somebody gave the order for that door to be opened. Somebody
yeah.
also gave the order to those officers to escort people in and direct them.
And those
okay?
doors.
These are orders that were given.
If you look at it, he looked up and he got the word to, it's open it up.
I understand. But somebody above them, the people in there, or three people, or whoever it was,
said,
okay, the door's open. Somebody mm-hmm. above them gave them the orders to open those doors.
I
want to
know about the
officers.
Two bottoms. How
about
the
here's
two
one thing. Yeah, but here's one thing we got to remember. The riot gave them the opportunity to stop a constitutional basis to be able to object to the 2020 election. It would have been automatic, even if the floor vote to not certify some electors from some of the states, even if the floor vote had failed, it would have provided a basis automatically, automatic standing for an appeal before the Supreme Court. The riot, which was enabled by the people, whoever started it, the riot gave them an excuse to shut that down. That did not benefit Donald Trump in any way, shape, form, or fashion. He did not have any knowledge of it. I am convinced of it. He knew nothing of that. They were going to do that.
Yeah, I don't think he knew anything about it. And how about the bomb?
I do.
You know,
the pipe bomb, yeah.
Pipe bombs and you don't hear a damn thing about it, and you know damn.
Yeah,
stuff.
What about that? Yeah,
yeah,
what about that?
I mean, these are bombs. You know, this is a freaking two bombs, and all of a sudden you don't hear a damn thing about it. It's crazy.
Yeah. How do they round up most of those rioters on January 6th? They employed a method that they call geofencing, in which you can pick up everybody's phone signal. You can go get warrants from the phone company, and you find out a person's movement at a particular place and time if they got the phone in their possession. That's how Dinesh D'Souza did that thing with 2,000 mules. He beat geofence areas around all those drop boxes. That's exactly what the DOJ did when they charged all of those people with rioting on January 6th. And with trespass and vandalism and everything else, they use the geofencing method to determine it. But somehow, that same method couldn't figure out who was in the area where the pipe bombs were planted.
Exactly right. Exactly right. I mean, come on. Two bombs? Come on.
Please.
You don't hear a damn thing
Please.
About it?
Nah, I know better than that.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Bullshit. They know all
of
it.
If you look at all the chemical toilets that was in the area, that tells you that somebody was planning something, because you can't call up the day before and get that many chemical toilets placed. So that's just impossible. Plus, you have to show a permit for the people to be there in order for the chemical toilet company to make the delivery.
Remember, they're trying to accuse President Trump of fomenting an insurrection when they turned down the very troops that would have prevented the whole goddamn thing. See, these people expect us to put aside reason and logic.
Not only that.
Yes.
Why would Trump overthrow his own damn government? He was in there until January the 20th. This happened January the 16th.
Yeah.
Yep.
And remember, again, he offered the troops that would have prevented it. They were the ones who said they didn't want the optics. They didn't want to be seen doing this. They said it.
Oh, hey, another thing. One more thing. When he left the White House on January 20th, what was the one thing he took with him that no other president has taken with him?
I don't know. Maybe the records of the Kennedy assassination or Barack Obama's real birth certificate? I don't know.
Nope.
Oh.
The nuclear football.
Whose football?
The nuclear football.
Oh, the nuclear football. Did he do that?
He took it with him.
No.
How do you know that
he
did that? I don't think he could do that. I don't think he could do that.
No.
Because of the time he left. The time, yes, he did take it. The time he left the White House, at the time he left the White House, he was still the President of the United States.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the ball. You understand?
Yeah, but even if he did do that, they could lock out whatever codes were in there and put out a new one.
That's what they said he had was the codes. And that was BS. They just said that just to get people, make him look bad because they changed the damn codes. And of course he had the damn codes. You know, he's the president. And Jesus. I mean,
and they changed him daily. And when they got crises going on, I think they change them hourly.
Well, they change them a lot. I know that.
I know that. I guarantee you they do.
Yeah,
so whatever he had wouldn't have made, at the day after, it would have made a bit of difference because they would completely changed it all. And he wouldn't have had any access.
But they did mention that he had the codes to the nuclear football, which is stupid as hell. But that's what MSNBC and CNN and the three networks that make people think, God, he's got the nuclear codes.
They never change. They say like your password. You keep the password for 3 years, don't you? Well, the nuclear codes are the same way. Hell no. Those damn things change almost hourly, certainly daily.
Yeah. By the way, they still have the same codes as when I was born in Eisenhower. Administration, for God's, you know, how stupid is that? Yeah, of course they change them all the time. My God.
Repeatedly. And even if he took the actual football, which is the briefcase, which has got the stuff in it, the electronic mechanisms that do it, I mean, they could easily negate all that, shut that out, they could make a whole new one. You know, and start that. And I don't think he kept the electronic apparatus, but like you said, he just had the code.
He did have the codes. At least they said he did. Of course he did. I mean,
but he didn't have the electronic apparatus, though. He didn't take that with him.
No, because when he got on the plane, the man that carries, I don't know if he's a colonel. I don't know.
A commander. Usually the naval commander or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what his rank is, but he was
captain. Is that a naval captain or a naval commander? That's usually the guy I see that's carrying it.
Yeah, okay. You see him with the president at all times. All time, behind with that damn briefcase. He's right there, and that didn't happen.
For sure.
But people think that, though. They sure as hell made people think that.
Hey, Gene.
Hey, what?
I'll tell you something else he took with him, and he didn't send it back for a very long time. And that was Air Force One.
Yep.
He took that with him. But it was 2 or 3 months later. What? Biden was flying around on a plane that looked like it. It was blue and white, but he didn't have the bubble on top of it. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
Air Force One had that bubble on
There's more than one. There's always a backup. There's always a backup to Air Force One. There are two planes
Air Force One
that are virtually identical.
Yeah.
But Biden wasn't flying around on Air Force One.
Yeah, and the backup
one,
whenever Air Force One flies with the president inside of it, the backup one also flies and lands in a separate secure area from wherever the president is, especially if it's out of the country. It's in a separate airfield and secured. Just in case somebody bombs the original one or whatever, then the backup one is there. So the backup Air Force One is always there too.
And whenever the vice president,
Donald Trump is fond of reminding us that his airplane is better appointed than Air Force One. He likes to brag about that all the time. I don't think he would want to keep Air Force One the Air Force belongs to General Service. It belongs to either the Air Force or the General Service Administration. I forget which. But he says this jet is better than Air Force One. He likes to fly on that better than Air Force One.
Yeah.
It might be more luxurious, but I highly doubt that it has the same high-level technology in it to be bomb-proofed and everything like that.
No, probably not.
But if you recall, go back. Kathy's right, though. After Biden was sworn in, he was not flying around in Air Force One.
It was blue and white, but it was not.
He was with the president when he was flying around. And when he was not, the Air Force One only goes with the president, period.
Right. Biden, for the first few months, was not flying around on Air Force One.
He was not.
I just don't believe they go and drop the president off wherever he wants to be dropped off at, and they take that Air Force One right back.
Any aircraft with the president flying in it is automatically Air Force One. That's any aircraft. President on it, it's Air Force One.
Yeah, helicopter, everything. Boat.
That Trump left. And a helicopter is called Marine One.
Yeah.
Did not go back to D.C. for about 3 or 4 months. Biden was riding around in just a blue and white jet.
Monkey Works was reporting on us.